gentlemen, brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Stevo.
Happy hump day.
Oh, yeah.
It's Wednesday.
Pretty awesome.
Team Awesome Morning Party. Stevo and Mateo here with you. We have a ginormous show today.
We have a lot of comic books up in this piece.
Yeah, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, our boy Max from Astro Zombies, crossing fingers, will be joining us.
Yep.
For Comics Corner.
He said he's coming today.
All right.
He said he's going to show up.
So we've got a lot of comic books we'll be reviewing, talking about everything that is releasing today, and coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We've got a guest.
A guest.
R.L. Keller.
Okay.
Richard Lewis Keller, to be exact. He's an author extraordinaire. He was born in Newark, New Jersey.
Nice.
Yeah, he wrote a few books. There's No McDonald's in Heaven.
Good.
Waiting on God.
There's No McDonald's in Heaven.
And Thoughts from a Random Mind. He also wrote a book called Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible. This book is basically a brief look into the different belief systems and how they compare to Christianity. He devotes chapters to atheists, agnostics, apostates, hedonists, three main world religions besides Judaism and Christianity he takes a look at. And yeah, dude, yeah, I'm excited to talk to him about this. And talk about man's rejection of God. We have a few stories that we're going to interject with as well. Just from this week alone.
Yes.
And,
yeah, it's neat how all this stuff happened, ties in.
Yeah.
Ties in!
We'll also be giving away copies of his book, Man's Rejection of God. So be listening during the 9 o'clock hour if it's something that sounds amazing to you.
We're also both going to sing a special this morning.
We're
going to each sing a song. I've chosen I Am Afraid of God.
Yes.
And what's your song?
How Great Thou Art.
It's going to be fun.
Yes.
You got to tune in, though. You'll miss it.
Yeah. Turn to page 432 in the hymn.
We're going
to
do it real sneaky. So don't miss out.
Yeah, you don't miss out. Big day. It's Wednesday. Comics Corner. I'm really excited for this 9 o'clock hour hangout because Shock Therapy Live is taking the summer off.
Yep.
And we got some special things planned for the Wednesday 9 a.m. hour. So as we said, we got a special guest author going to be calling in this morning. We got copies of his books we're going to be giving away. Next week, another author going to be hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Wrote a book called Resonate, and it's all about the worship wars, if you will.
Worship wars.
Yeah. So
that sounds interesting.
Going to be tackling some fun stuff this summer. So please hang out with us.
Worship wars just made me the most interested I've ever been in worship music ever.
Yeah.
Worship wars.
Yeah. So it's called Resonate, Enjoying God's Gift of Music. It's from Zondervan Publishing. And yeah, it's all about God's gift of music and how incredible it is, and yet we're too busy fighting over what types of music we like, what is worship, what's an important aspect of worship. Yeah.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
But also why worship is so important. Not just worship, but music in general plays a major part in our
book,
day-to-day lives.
Yeah, this book really comes alongside of Static Radio and provides a cool glimpse into what we kind of... I think so far from the description, it sounds like we both kind of line up.
It's going to be good.
I'm excited about that. Yeah. I'm going to read that. I'm going to read that.
Coming up at 6:45, we've got birthdays. You can get your birthday shout-outs in. Studio at mystaticradio.com. Also got some Jimmy World coming up. Music from Red. But right now, it's New Lore. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
It's time for breaking news. Your most favorite segment of today. With Doug in the booth, Steve-O at the mic.
What?
And me at the helm of this ship that I will run aground promptly.
Nice.
Thanks. Dina Lohan has had her driver's license suspended. I assume that is Lindsay's mom.
That's what I was going to say.
Maybe. Probably. Doug, you know all about
Dina
you got
Lohan?
You know the dirt Lohan? On the stars, Doug.
Sure.
Doug's our gossip columnist.
Yeah.
He gets all the dirt. The protesters in the streets of Thailand have adopted the three-finger salute from The Hunger Games.
Okay.
It's an inspirational movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. According to the latest research, the happiest people at the office are people who rode their bikes to work. They're just happy they're off their bike.
Yeah.
And they didn't get hit by a car in
Truth.
Albuquerque. That's what's going on.
Scary, man.
I
people
made
don't
it.
Pay attention.
I made it.
Gosh.
My adrenaline's
unreal.
Going nuts. A new study says that we are less likely to take precaution if a storm system is named for a female.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is it because it's not intimidating enough?
I don't know, man.
I don't get it. Well, I wonder if it's because we all make an association with Hurricane Andrew that hit Florida and how bad that was. But Hurricane Katrina was just as bad, and that's a female named.
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe it's because girls just aren't as strong as guys. A South Carolina woman was arrested for stealing a Bible from Walmart.
Ugh.
If you're going to steal a Bible, go to Lifeway. Don't go to Walmart and steal it. Steal it from Lifeway. Chris Brown has been released from jail. Uh-oh. Rihanna wore a very interesting dress to an award show yesterday.
Yeah.
I wonder.
It was on Yahoo.
Yeah. That couple. It's been revealed that before they began dating, Jennifer Lopez made her boyfriend sign a non-disclosure statement. That's what I'm talking about. Keep them under your thumb. Boop.
Man,
under
I
your
couldn't
thumb.
Lift that leg. I couldn't
under.
Do it.
That dude can't tell any secrets, Doug.
Nope.
He's locked down. Secrets.
Signed contract.
For more about secrets, tune into Comics Corner. A website that tracks wealth has named Jerry Seinfeld as the world's richest actor. It's because of blah, blah, blah. Seinfeld being in syndication. He makes so much money.
Yeah.
It's syndicated so much. It's practically sinful. Syndicated.
Yeah, no.
It's
yeah.
a different. Archaeologists working in China have found the world's oldest pair of pants.
That's cool.
Oldest pair of pants. Probably belonged to Grandpa Friend. What did he do leaving them in China? How'd he get there? Scientists say they've invented robotic sperm. So, Terminator's getting dangerously close.
Yeah.
That's freaky. Or I Am Robot. Remember, is that what it was?
I Robot. Yes.
I Am
totally
Legend.
Totally remember that.
I Am Legendary Robot.
Yes.
Of robotic.
That was a good movie.
Oh, my goodness. It would seem counterintuitive that the habit of attacking projects and to-do lists without a moment's hesitation is anything but ultra-productive. Yet some researchers think that sometimes doing the opposite of procrastinating or precrastinating could cost you time and energy too. So I guess this is getting it done way before it needs to be.
I was going to say, maybe.
Penn State psychology professor David Rosenbaum and his colleagues have had college student participants complete the task of carrying a heavy bucket full of pennies down an alleyway. Rosenbaum marked a finish line at one end and the students stood at the other. They were told to pick up just one bucket on the way to the finish line, either one that was closer to them and farther from the finish line, or one that was farther from them and closer to the finish line. The researchers simply told the students to do whatever they felt was easier. Surprisingly, an overwhelming amount of the participants picked up the bucket that was closer to them and carried it down the alley. As a result, they carted the heavy load for much longer than they would have if they had just chosen the other bucket that was closer to the end.
Huh.
When Rosenbaum asked the students why they chose the bucket they did, a common response was that they wanted to get it done as soon as they could. By picking up the near bucket, they could check the task off their mental to-do list more quickly than if they had picked up the far bucket. Their desire to lighten their mental load was so strong that they were willing to expend quite a bit of extra physical effort to do so. That's pretty interesting. People want to just get it done, but then they're actually taking on more work.
Yeah.
That could be applicable in a few situations.
Yeah.
This also could be applicable in a few situations. The video looks staged, but maybe not. When an apparent child kidnapper tries to abduct a little girl from an elevator, he made the mistake of picking on a karate girl with a black belt.
Oh.
The amazing part is that the whole incident was caught on video, so some people were kind of like, The karate girl video shows her walking into an elevator alone and standing by the button panel waiting. The elevator stops and the alleged kidnapper boards only to lurk in the opposite corner without pressing a button. When the doors open, the man tries to run forward while also grabbing her shoulder, but the karate girl responds by twisting his arm and then bringing him to the ground. She proceeded to beat the kidnapper repeatedly until the elevator stopped again and the man sprung for the door, at which point she yanked him back in for more punishment. The man eventually is able to free himself from her grasp and run, but she chases him down the hallway. That is terrifying.
I want to see this video.
If you're a kid, Doug, will you pull that up? If you're a kid and you know karate, don't come after me because I'll be afraid of you.
Yeah.
I would be afraid of you.
That sounds staged. Would a kid beat up this dude and then when he was trying to flee, really pull this person back and then beat them up more? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe the adrenaline was going in this child.
Maybe so. I don't know, though. That's...
I want to see it.
I've changed my mind. I like this thing better.
Okay.
Changed my mind officially.
Boom!
Toy stores in Australia have been hit by a series of high-dollar Lego heists.
Whoa.
And a police detective thinks the thefts might be the work of a crime syndicate specifically targeting Legos. During the past 2 weekends, thieves hit the same Toy World in Victoria State. In the first heist, they removed a glass panel from a sliding door, entered the store, and stole more than $9,000 worth of Legos. How much? Gosh, that's crazy. A week later, another batch of Legos worth more than $4,500 was taken from the same store. The store's owner says there have been other robberies at small toy shops over the last 6 months or so, all targeting Legos.
That's
Everything
weird.
Is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
Yeah.
Even if you're taking Legos. Because you're in a team.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Here's a little bit more about the people in Thailand. The three-finger salute from the movie The Hunger Games is being used as a real symbol of resistance in Thailand. Protesters against the military coup are flashing the gesture as a silent act of rebellion. And they're being threatened with arrest if they ignore warnings to stop.
Wow.
Thailand's military rulers said they are monitoring a new form of opposition to the coup. Reporters witnessed the phenomenon and individuals were captured on film making the raised arm salute. Interesting. People are getting inspired by that movie for real. Now, you read all the books.
I did not. I didn't read the third one because Mitch ruined it, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I got the third one, then I was like, I'm going to read this.
Ruined.
Spoiler alert. Blah, 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 blah.
Spoiler alert. Bransford.
Cool, yeah.
Not Kelly.
Nope.
Mitch.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Authorities with the Dillon, Florida police force say 57-year-old Jorge Luis Rivera of New Jersey walked across a dark area of highway and after crossing the concrete median, stopped in the middle of the travel lane and began drinking a beer. While Rivera was in the road, a sport utility vehicle hit him and he died at the scene. Police say Rivera was intoxicated at the time. Don't stop to drink a beer in the middle of a highway.
Gosh, dude.
Not smart. Not smart. Hey, Dan Marino, the 17-year NFL great, stunned the football world Monday by suing the NFL over brain concussions he suffered during his playing career. But on Tuesday,
I was going to say he dropped out.
Marino's attorney said the Miami Dolphins legend must have called the wrong play. Oh, witty. Yeah. Because he now wants his name pulled off the lawsuit filed in a Philadelphia federal court, which Marino joined with 14 other ex-players seeking money and a promise of medical treatment for any adverse symptoms that may arise as a result of the concussions the players suffered in their NFL careers. A source close to Marino said it was never Marino's intention to initiate litigation in this case, but to ensure that in the event he had to advertise health consequences down the road, he would be covered with health benefits. They are working to correct the error. He just wanted to get his hospital bill paid for. Probably pretty expensive.
I would say so.
If you bleed gold, which we all know I do because I'm super rich.
Yeah, Dr. Midas.
Sneeze, diamond dust, that too. It's because of drugs. and are aching to get your hands on the latest but probably not so greatest, we have something for you. High-end cell phone manufacturer Vertu has teamed up with the high-end camera manufacturer Hasselblad to create the Signature Touch, a smartphone that sports a Hasselblad certified camera. We think you're better off staying with your Droid or your iPhone. Here's why. That phone?
Yeah.
$11,300.
Oh my gosh.
That's what you want.
Stupid.
You want a phone that's more than your car?
That's more than that dream motorcycle that I've been like looking at and going, man, someday I'm gonna get that.
You want that?
I found one on Craigslist.
No, like you did nine. Not.
Yeah. I'm like, cool, man. Maybe it's only 2 years away.
You should get a phone. You should get a phone that's more expensive than that thing.
Gosh.
I feel like that would suit you better because you're so interested in talking on your phone.
It's so true. So interested. Always.
Instead of being happy to see a Cambodian man who had been missing for 5 days, his relatives and acquaintances were frightened when he finally showed up because they were at his funeral. When he appeared, mourners started running away. His family had been mourning over a body pulled from a nearby river. So now authorities are trying to figure out who that was.
Wow.
He showed up to his own funeral, Doug. That's the tip top, man. You've made it. If you can show up at your own funeral, you have made it in this world.
Looks like we made it.
People will come to you with questions. People will come to you seeking advice.
Yeah.
People will come to you and they'll say, hey, man, can you just write it? Write a book and I'll buy your book. And just tell me how you made it. And you'll say, look, all you gotta do, just do what Mateo says and never die. Incredible. Incredible. I'm going to show up to my own funeral too.
That'd be crazy.
It's going to be neato.
Yeah.
Some police in England have released a clip of a woman who called their emergency line to complain about getting an ice cream that did not have enough sprinkles on it. She complains that an ice cream man has put a bit on one side and none on the other. Maybe we don't have as many problems in America as we think.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Or maybe they just don't have any problems over in England, and that's why you call the police. It's like,
hey, it's just, they put a bit on one side, none on the other there. Can you just come over and... I can't get on with him. He just won't shut up.
Oh, man. It's pretty good.
The residents, thank you, of Forest Hills, Pennsylvania, are keeping one eye on the skies.
Ah!
After a local resident was knocked unconscious by an especially aggressive neighborhood hawk.
Whoa, dude.
Eileen Bridge was washing her car when she was dive-bombed by what is believed to be a red-tailed hawk. Volcano Vista hawk!
Boom! In the house!
The bird knocked her down, and she suffered lacerations to her scalp and ear, along with a wicked china. Bridge's husband also had a close encounter with the hawk just a few days earlier as he was crossing their yard. The hawk is likely one of a pair that nested in a pine tree behind the Bridges' home
That's
this spring.
Crazy.
This time it's personal. That's what that hawk said.
Yeah.
That hawk looked out and said, oh, you want to just wash your car in my yard? This is my house when I was in it, and I was in it right now.
Wow.
And that hawk said, boo! The bird knocked that woman down. Can you imagine that?
No. Well, actually, yes. We're at the zoo. Those hawks can be...
They look kind of mean.
Yeah.
They're predators.
Eagle hawk.
Eagle hawk used to guard Waverly.
Yeah.
He was a combination of an eagle and a hawk.
Yeah, now...
In case you
now he's dive-bombing people because Waverly broke up. Maybe that's it. Eagle hawk. He was like, Viv Van, and then they broke up! I don't know what to do because Waverly's gone. I got no vans. Fly around over and protect. What are you looking at, lady in the yard? You don't look at me funny. I'm Eagle Hawk.
Why is the hawk so drunk?
Oh, he's so mad that Waverly broke up.
He sounds wasted. He doesn't sound angry.
And he's like, I get you. You don't look at me like that. And then he just, boom. Dive bombs before he even thinks about it. Lucky he didn't run into the ground because, you know, flying and...
Are you drunk this morning? Doug, don't you do it, Doug. A garage owner in Scotland has apologized for staging a fake murder scene on Google Street View.
Whoa.
Police visited Dan Thompson following a complaint by someone who spotted the hoax online. After spotting the Google camera car from a distance, the mechanic laid on the road while his colleague stood over him with a pickaxe handle. Thompson said, "There are pictures of men on Google flashing their butts, but we thought this would be a little more classy."
Oh, that's so great.
And finally...
So great!
It sounds like all those super conserved conspiracy theorists that hate Disney have been proven right.
Uh-oh.
A woman in Japan has asked her husband for a divorce because he admitted that he didn't like something she really likes. The 29-year-old woman has become entranced by the Disney musical Frozen.
Okay.
And made several trips to the theater without her other half. He initially resisted her offers to see Frozen, but realizing she wouldn't let it go, you're welcome, he relented and came along to see it. After the viewing, the man told his wife, "It's an okay movie, I guess, but I didn't really care for it personally." She replied, "If you can't understand what makes this movie great, there's something wrong with you as a human being. I want a divorce."
Wow.
Real life.
That really happened, people.
You can't tell me how to feel, Sarah.
You can't tell me how to feel, Sarah.
In our last bit of news, Robert Pattinson is rumored to be playing the new Indiana Jones.
No!
Let's check traffic.
Ah!
Talk about a wreck.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I read that yesterday. Our Pat up for the reboot of Indiana Jones. Oh, okay.
Blah.
No! Disney! Why haven't you done that to me?
They say he's proven his chops outside of Twilight. To which I say, yeah, he was in Twilight.
Yeah.
Gross. Also, nothing to report other than the construction at I-25 in Paseo. And I'm happy to say that after yesterday. Yesterday was just a slew of accidents. That's your look at traffic, because now it is time
for Doggy Dog and Birthdays to come along.
Sup, Doug?
Not much. What's up with you guys?
Doug.
You know, just kidding.
I put
it.
A picture of you on the Facebook.
Yeah.
I did.
Is it the bear?
No. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We just knew you were so stoked for Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Hashtag YOLO.
Yeah. YOLO.
There you go.
Today is
June 4th, 2014. Day 155 of the year. There are 210 days remaining. First up. She was cover model of the 2009 Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and in 2012, she was Maxim's hottest woman of the year. Model Bar Raffaelli.
Nope.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
Bar
Raffaelli? Man, birthdays better be better than yesterday.
There is a slew of birthdays today.
Okay. Nobody cool was born on the 3rd of June. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, gross.
29,
26.
Steve-O's one for one today.
Oh! Okay.
29.
I wasn't confident with that guess either.
Next up, he has appeared in more than 80 feature films and received Academy Award for nominations for Best Supporting Actor after the 1978 film Coming Home and Best Actor for the 2013 film Nebraska. He was recently in Django Unchained.
Oh, yep, Bruce Dern.
Yes, and he was in The Burbs.
Bruce Dern,
father of Laura Dern, who was Dr. Ellie Sattler in Jurassic Park.
Bruce Dern is 83 years old.
Bruce Dern is 86 years old.
Today he is 78 years old.
Oh man, we thought he was
overshot the moon.
Really old. Okay.
Mama's and the Papas.
Yes, the last surviving member.
Papa.
No. It is Michelle Phillips.
Oh. Michelle Phillips.
Also spent time with Charles Manson back in the day.
There you go.
Okay. Isn't that mom of Phillips, like Wilson Phillips? Michelle Phillips. Anyway.
Yeah. Hold on for one more day.
Okay.
We'll find 69. Out.
69.
73.
Today she is 70 years old.
Ah! I was right there.
That's okay.
Next up.
Yeah.
June! Is it Jeff Hardy?
Nope.
Matt Hardy?
No, but
Lita?
He plays Sean Cassidy in the Hardy Boys Nancy Drew mystery series in the 1970s.
Dude, the Hardy Boys.
He is also an original member of the cast of Baywatch.
David Hasselhoff.
He played a computer tycoon on Melrose Place.
Nope.
I don't know. It is Parker Stevenson.
Ah, yes, of course. Parker Stevenson, no clue. 49.
The most famous man in the world. 53.
He is 62 today.
Ah!
Really just the one with that one for the Hardy Boys.
Yeah. Ah!
It hurts when I get it wrong. It's okay. It's okay.
Wants to love.
Next up, an American actor known for his role on the television series Party of Five.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Wolf.
Yes.
So, Steve-O, tell me about how much you like Party of Five.
Well, there was this girl on it named Jennifer Love Hewitt. The end.
Continue.
There's this girl on it named Nev Campbell.
Keep going.
The end.
Keep going.
Matthew Fox was on it, who played Jack on Lost.
I knew it. I knew it. What? I knew there was a dude in there.
Wait,
I knew
what?
It.
What? Huh?
All right, Scott Wolf.
He was also in V, the remake of V.
Yeah. Which one was...
He's the one that almost looks like Tom Cruise. It's
okay.
Like, you're the one that kind of looks like Tom
Cruise.
He's Chad Decker in V.
There you go. Boom.
Okay.
Scott Wolf, man.
Scott Wolf. What do you think?
I think I need to rethink some of my
rethink.
Life
reboot.
Choices.
You need to reboot
television,
it.
But
go back and reboot it.
Then I remembered J.L.H. Percentage.
The H.
So I'm going to say...
love you, Jennifer. Love you.
43.
39.
46.
Dang it!
He's older than you think.
It's next
Saturday Night Live! Featuring Mike Myers.
A little bit later.
Adam Sandler.
A little bit later.
Will Ferrell. Colin Quinn.
Chris Kattan.
Keep going.
Molly Shannon.
Bigger guy.
Bigger guy.
Horatio Sands.
Yeah. Horatio Sands is 43.
It hurts when I get it right.
He's also in the films Tomcats, Road Trip, and The New Guy.
Dude, Horatio Sands. Oh, man. I was just thinking of Jimmy Fallon.
Oh,
those
dude.
Two were like,
he played the cook in that
Road Trip.
In that truck stop or whatever in Road
Trip. French toast.
Gosh. Okay.
What did I say, 43?
41.
He is 45 years old today.
Dang it!
Next up.
George Clooney.
No.
Sandra Bullock!
It was John Carter.
She's not
in it. ER.
Oh,
it's like John Carter.
Taylor. And Tom Mason in Falling Skies.
Oh, Noah Wiley.
Yes.
Boom. Noah Wiley!
Of course, Dr. Carter. What am I thinking, bro?
Dude,
Falling Skies gets me every year with those like commercials for the new season. I'm like, I really should have watched that
and
show.
And then it's kind of like...
I watched like the first few episodes of the first season. It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
I feel like I need to go back and watch it, though.
Didn't it switch networks?
No, it's still on like
I thought it was on like a primetime network, and then it switched.
No, it was always
okay,
on
cool.
T, whatever. Which, it's one of those. I always get TBS and TNT confused.
It's one of them.
One of them. But every time, every year, I'm like, dang, that show looks good.
Dang, dude.
Nah, pass. Noah Wiley's awesome, though. That beard, though.
He was one of the 50 most beautiful people in 2001.
Yeah, 2001. All right,
makes
think
sense.
About that.
2001. That's 13 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So I say 44.
I say 46.
He's 43.
He's younger than Horatio Sands.
Yep, Steve-O with his 1-point lead so far.
Yep.
Who Still cares, it. Doug? It's not a competition.
It is. I tally it every time I go home. It's on
sad.
The chalkboard.
Sad.
Next up,
the Queen.
In 2004, he achieved notoriety as a host of Big Brother's Big Mouth, a Big Brother spinoff in 2004.
No,
2007, he had his first major film role in St. Tyrannians. 2008, he scored a major role in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Russell Brand!
Yes.
Yeah! But he's 33.
Oh, Russell Brand.
Yep.
How could you leave Katie?
She probably left. I don't know. No, he called it off.
I don't know.
How could you do it?
Russell Brand. What'd you say, 33?
Yeah.
35.
He is 39 today.
Oh, okay. Oh,
man.
Yeah. That's why. He was too old. Too old to know his folly.
And the last birthday this morning.
What?
An American actress, film director, screenwriter, and author. She has received an Academy Award, 2 7 Actors Guild Awards, and 3 Golden Globe Awards.
Dang.
She was named Hollywood's highest paid actress by Forbes in 2009.
Sandra Bullock.
2011 and 2013.
Could be Sandra Bullock.
Made her screen debut as a child alongside her father, John Boy.
Oh! Angelina Jolie!
Yes.
No way!
All right. And she's pretty great in Maleficent.
That's all I've heard.
Yep.
Hackers, bruh.
Hackers, bruh.
Wanted.
Tomb Raider.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Salt.
Salt, dude.
Was that the one where she was the spy?
Yes.
Yeah, that movie was
the
cool.
Did anybody see The Tourist?
I did.
I really enjoyed it.
It wasn't as bad.
Most people hated it.
It wasn't as bad as everybody made it.
Her and Johnny Depp in the same movie? Kidding me?
It wasn't the best movie ever, but it was everybody was like, bleh. And I didn't.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Girl Interrupted.
Girl Interrupted. Is that what she won the Oscar for? I can't remember what she won the Oscar for.
All right.
She won Best Supporting Actress.
I think it was for Hackers.
Stop.
Sing last all night.
Still really good friends with her. First love, Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah, I'm still really good friends with her. It's cool.
It's cool.
Broke up back in high school. She's like 17.
I feel like she's hitting 42.
She's 51.
She is 39 today.
Ah!
She was born on the same day. That's Russell Brand.
That's crazy.
She's 39.
That's crazy. I just went for it. Went crazy. Like, she looks super young compared. 39. Nuts.
I said 42. I was close.
All right, on to dates. On this day in what year, Henry Ford made a successful pre-dawn test run of his horseless carriage called a quadricycle through the streets of Detroit?
1903. Oh,
yeah. 1901.
That happened in 1896.
Dang.
We were right there. We were right there.
On this day in what year, grocery chain owner Sylvan Goldman introduced the shopping cart at his Humpty Dump store in Oklahoma City?
Oh, yeah.
1929.
1918.
1937.
Okay. Wow. All right, shopping carts.
Supermarket sweep.
On this day in what year the patent for the ATM was granted?
Ooh.
1972.
81.
1973.
Oh, wow. You were right there.
Mm.
You were right there.
I'm about to break this porcelain cup.
Yeah!
On this day in what year the album Born in the USA
by
Bruce Springsteen was released?
83.
Yeah. 81.
Happened in 1984.
Oh, snap.
On this day in what year, the U.S. Postal Service announced the results of a nationwide vote on the Elvis Presley stamp, saying more people preferred the younger Elvis design.
Oh, I remember this. This was a big deal in Tupelo, Mississippi.
I have a page of these stamps.
Yeah. Well, at home, everybody was like, oh, we got to help him decide.
Yeah.
And at home, it was like, vote for younger Elvis he's from here, and older Elvis was fat in Memphis.
Yeah. I like the younger one, like the pink background and the... Yeah.
Yeah. And the gold. He had the gold jacket.
Yep. 95.
97. 92.
Ah!
And the last one this morning.
Cream, get the money! Dollar bills, y'all!
On this day in what year, Martha Stewart stepped down as the head of her media empire hours after federal prosecutors in New York charged her with obstruction of justice, conspiracy, securities fraud, and lying to investigators.
2003.
2004.
Steve-O with the walk-off.
Ah!
How do you know about Martha
Stewart? Because it's Martha freaking Stewart! And I know Martha Stewart. We go way back.
I just want everybody to know.
Yeah, that's right. I said it. I admit it.
That was his reason.
I miss you, Martha.
Because it's Martha freaking Stewart. Go ahead, Doug.
Today is running day, but don't run too fast. You're going to crash.
Oh,
it's frozen yogurt day, eggs Benedict day, and National Cheese Day.
Yeah!
Cheese.
Crazy poop day.
I love cheese.
Because it's fro-yo and cheese day.
Fro-yo and cheese.
It's a perfect day for people like me who are lactose intolerant to just go for it, man.
Or a perfect day for people like me who are normal to just eat what they want. I get to eat what I want.
Oh, man, we got to take a quick break. Coming up, question of the day. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Hang out with us. Interject. Be our friend.
Why not? It's summertime.
We've got a great show lined up today. We're going to be talking with author Rich Keller. About man's rejection of God. Who's at fault? Who's to blame? We're also going to be hanging out with Max from Astro Zombies for Comics Corner. We got some Atomic Tom coming up, some Number One Guns, some churches,
woo,
and more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now, static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
Oh, and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
I had to reload it.
Yeah.
I had to reload traffic because
the grasshoppers!
The grasshoppers!
Dude, I took some photos. Our campus is creepy right now.
Yo, there is sin on this campus. There's grasshoppers everywhere.
Look at that.
Everywhere I walk. Man, that's crazy, man. There's a grasshopper out here for every sinner walking on these streets. Walking.
Speaking of streets, we have construction at I-25 in Paseo, and I'm very unhappy to report an accident. The right lane's blocked Alameda at Jefferson. Also, whoop, whoop, whoop. Traffic lights are flashing red at Unser and Western Trail. Treat it as a four-way stop. Don't be a jerk. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. If you're going to roll over to SoPo to get some coffee this morning, bring your torch.
Torch.
Because it's straight up Indiana Jones in there. I walked on so many grasshoppers. It was disgusting. I felt like I was walking on fortune. What did I do? Dr. Jones, the fortune cookie?
See, I like crushing them. Because I was out there going, I'm walking on sunshine. Wow!
No! I'm going to post this photo. There are seriously thousands of grasshoppers on
this
campus.
It's true.
Right now. Speaking of Indiana Jones, we made mention during breaking news, Robert Pattinson, at least according to the Daily Star, is reporting that Disney is in talks with RPAT for the new Indiana Jones franchise. But hang on, Twihards.
And the world collectively groaned.
The tabloid source says that Pattinson's no lock and that competition for the role will be stiff because it's Indiana Jones!
Indiana Jones.
So with that, we thought we'd have an easy question of the day. This one's fun. They're in talks to reboot Indiana Jones. Who should take the lead?
Ooh.
Who should be the next Indiana Jones?
That's the question of the day. That's what we're doing.
338-3700, the phone number. It's 505-338-3700. Or, of course, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We'll post it as our question of the day. I feel like the guy's got to be rugged. And to be honest, I know people are going to hate this. And he's already Batman, so it can't happen. But look at that jaw structure of Ben Affleck. I know he's already like in his 40s.
That would have been clean. Well, Doug and I were saying Bradley Hathaway. Or Cooper. Bradley Cooper, not Hathaway.
Yeah, he's got that like
skinny
kind of rugged.
Poet. Not
like,
him.
Not Bradley Hathaway.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
But the article says,
to find the Ark. It has been lost, but it soon shall be found. Bradley Hathaway.
No, I can't eat that because I can't eat anything.
I saw Bradley Hathaway open for Blindside once on the, it was like the Black Summer Tour or whatever.
It was riveting. It was riveting. I was completely enthralled. I could not move. I was so engaged and enthralled. It was riveting.
Yeah. Disney talking about rebooting Indiana Jones and giving Robert Pattinson the role?
Hey.
I know they want to go young.
Yeah, that's the thing. They want to go young. They want somebody that can carry it for a while. Now, here's the thing. To his credit,
yeah,
he's not a bad actor.
No, and to look back to, let's fast forward, beginning of the 80s. Han Solo was already a dude. Like, it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've already got one of the biggest actors in the universe, Harrison Ford, who's playing the coolest role ever, Han Solo.
Yeah.
And then they cast him as Indiana Jones.
Right.
So he was already huge. Yes. So thinking about, like, oh, but he's already done Twilight. Well, Harrison Ford was Han Solo at
kinda
the exact same time.
Yeah, kind of the same thing.
So and it now, would be like casting Liam Hemsworth or yeah,
Chris Evans.
Well, I was thinking Liam, the brother from Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah. He would be a good one.
Yeah.
Huh? He would be a good one.
He would be a good one.
All right, question of the day. Who would you cast as Indiana Jones in the reboot?
Yeah, it's
and don't
happening.
Say Shia LaBeouf, because no.
So you know the first comment now is going to be some smarty who...
Shia LaBeouf.
I'm the smartest man in the world.
Hey, we have stuff to give away that we needs given aways. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Speaking of Indiana Jones, National Geographic Kids gave us some Get Outside Guides. These really rad books about what to do with your summer.
Yeah. So we want to play a game.
Yeah, dude, that gives you some really rad ideas for how to get outside and, you know, not just sit on the couch and watch television.
Because maybe that's all that you do. Maybe yeah. You're like me. And all that you do is sit inside and watch the telly.
In the cold, bitter winter months, that's okay. But come on, bro. It's summertime. Let's get outside. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got a couple copies of this Get Outside Guide, courtesy of National Geographic Kids. But we got to give them away!
Give us a call.
505-338-3700. I've got an easy question for today.
No.
A really easy one.
It's never an easy question.
I always think it's going to be an easy question, and then turns out
people
it's going to be really hard.
People are like, what?
Yeah. Phone lines are jammed. I'm going to wait. Let our producer there get those phone lines.
Doug,
yeah.
Do a good job, Doug.
If you've just joined us, Robert Pattinson rumored to be the new Indiana Jones. Who would make a better Indiana Jones? Tell us. Because we need to recast this better than Disney is doing right now.
I know that all of you are thinking to yourselves, Mateo.
Yeah.
But I can't do it. I got a job.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Let's give some stuff away. Static.
Hey, this is Jordan.
Jordan, what's up, man?
Hey, Jordan.
Not too much. Good day. Good day so
far. Right? I'd say so. It's just kind of getting going. For some. Are you an outdoorsy individual?
Not overly.
This is good.
I enjoy being outdoors, but we're not kind of a hiking family or anything.
Yeah. Dude, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a game. And what I need you to do... Let's think back to television this year. Are you a television fan?
Ooh, not really, but a little bit.
All right, well, we'll see. You might be able to get it going for somebody else, and sadly.
Beep, beep,
here we go. I've got a list of the top five most tweeted television series of 2013-2014.
That's cool, man.
Yes. Thanks to the drama's mind-blowing series finale of one, 9.1 million people on Twitter tweeted about this one series in particular, but I got a list of the top five most talked about TV shows of the year.
How many do I have to get?
You need to get three. If you can get three, we're going to give you the Get Outside Guide because you know too much about television and need to get outside.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to go with Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, number one.
Oh. You got that one, dude.
All right, I need two more.
How I Met Your Mother?
How I Met Your Mother. Ah, I'm sorry, it's not even on the top 10.
It's not. That's interesting.
Not even on the top 10.
Keep going, friend.
Let's give you one more shot.
Yeah, one more guess. One more guess. Think.
Well, keep going. Let's see here.
Think about your Facebook feed. Think about your Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And the shows that people won't shut up about.
Yes.
Well, let's see. I don't have a Facebook account, and all my Twitter friends are nerds that don't watch TV.
Oh, your friends are nerds. You should know a couple of these.
You should know a couple of these.
If they're nerds, I'm telling you.
Something really horrible like American Idol.
American Idol, not even on the top 10.
Sorry, friend.
Sorry. Jordan, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for trying.
Later.
All right.
Later. He got number one.
He did get number one. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Who's this?
I'm Sunny.
Sunny. Sunny, do you watch television?
What?
Are you a fan of TV?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the deal. I've got this year's most tweeted about TV series. Good job, Doug. This is fantastic. Thanks for,
hey,
thanks for taking these calls for us. Vetting them and making sure they're just great for the air. I got a list of the most tweeted TV series of 2013-2014. I need you to give me three of the top five, and you're going to score a copy of this book, The Get Outside Guide, courtesy of National Geographic. How's that?
That's good.
Okay, cool. All right. Anytime, you go. You tell me.
Okay, can I go with the last one, Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad, absolutely. Number one on the list.
There you go.
I need two more. Most talked about, tweeted about TV series of the last year.
The Voice.
The Voice. Number nine on the list. Didn't make the top five. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're looking
we'll give you one more
five.
Shot.
Okay.
That was a good guess, though. You made it. That was in the top 10.
Yeah, good guess.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. No, I'm sorry.
No, is
that
it
was
in
number
there?
10.
That's number 10.
That was number 10, though. So you got 9 and 10. That was good, but didn't crack the top five. So, thanks for calling. All right.
Okay.
Static.
Hello.
Hey.
Yay.
How goes it?
It goes. Very tired. I'm very tired.
Very tired. Okay. We'll make it simple.
Maybe you can win.
The year's
No. Here's the deal. If I win, the person who gets five can take my prize.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You don't want the book? You just want to play?
No, I think I have a book just kind of like that.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I need three of the top five. This year's most tweeted about TV series. Give me your guesses.
Okay. Is House of Cards one?
House of Cards! Not even on the top 10. That was good. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, dude. Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo! Not even in the top 10. Pool Boy! This is good. That means love you, bro!
Love you!
Love you.
All right. That means he doesn't watch TV, and that's good. That's good.
He watches Community.
Yeah. There you go. Static!
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
You ready to try and win this book?
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like a fun thing to do.
All right. The year's most tweeted about TV series. I've got a list of the top 10. I need you to crack the top five times three. All right? If you can give me three of the five top five most tweeted about series, we're going to hook you up with this book, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
So I'm going to say guesses. Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Breaking Bad.
Dude, out of the park.
Oh. Out of the park! Did you look it up?
Out of the park!
Be honest.
See, I thought that was so easy. I thought it was going to be an easy question.
I
want to
know if he looked it up. Did you look it up?
Did you tweet?
Nope.
I've been
listening and I'm just like, is anyone going to say Walking Dead?
Thank you, sir.
How about Game of Thrones? Nope.
Right.
Okay. I'm guess I'm going to call in.
Game of Thrones has to be the most obnoxious TV series on the planet because that's a series that if any of your friends watch, you know they watch it.
Yeah.
All the time.
Game of Thrones
because you hear about it.
It's the CrossFit of TV.
It's the worst. I've never seen a single episode, and all I hear about is how incredible it is and how I need to watch it and how it's like the best ever television series of all time, and you got to watch it. So, yes, good job. Walking Dead was number two. Somehow, some way, Pretty Little Liars and The Bachelor beat out Game of Thrones. for 3 and 4, but Game of Thrones, number 5, most
number
tweeted
five.
About series of the year. So, good job. You win.
Pretty Little Liars? That scares me.
Yeah, Pretty Little Liars and The Bachelor, top 5. So, there you go.
I could see The Bachelor. I'm surprised by Pretty Little Liars. Yeah. I didn't realize that was as big as it is.
Apparently, it's huge. So, all right. Well, hang on the line, all right?
Fancy. Cool.
All right, there you go. Fancy. It's just that easy.
Here's your one chance.
We got
fancy.
Stuff to give away. I'm excited. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, of course, it is Comics Corner. We'll be hanging out with Max from Astro Zombies. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with author Rich Keller. He wrote a book called Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible. We've got him for the hour, the entire 9 o'clock hour.
The hour.
It's going to be good. You can get your questions in. We're going to be hanging out with him. But, yeah, good job, caller, for getting that one. The others... Number 10 was Dancing with the Stars. We got The Voice. Number 9, Scandal was 8. American Horror Story. And then Teen Wolf were the other 5. So there you go. Yeah. Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Let's take a look at traffic code.
Yes, shall we?
See what y'all want to say about it. Right now, nothing to report except for an accident in the right lane's blocked Alameda Boulevard at Jefferson. We talked about this earlier. Hopefully, everybody's okay. Also, construction I-25 in Paseo. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Question of the day is up. It is posted.
How often do you twerk?
That's not the question.
That's not it?
That's not it.
Maybe I was mentally wondering that.
Our Pat, good old Edward Cullen, is up for the role of Indiana Jones in the reboot. At least according to one source.
You know, I bet...
He's rumored.
I bet when Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart were on dates, I bet it was just an earth-shattering war when it came to smiling. You know, because that girl can't smile. Her face, her muscles don't work when it comes to... She's like... It's just smiling, and then he's like, no, you just got to pick up
he
your mouth.
He just looks like he's in pain.
Yeah, and his eyes get all squinty, and he's like, he looks like he's taking a high school picture at the dentist. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's like, hey, let's take our pictures at the dentist this year because it's cheaper.
Oh, man. Yeah, British tabloid Daily Star is reporting that Disney is considering RPAT for the new Indiana Jones franchise, but here's the deal, Twyards, don't get too overly excited. It's Indiana Jones we're talking about, and they say it's not locked in. The competition for this role will be stiff. Who would be a better Indiana Jones? That's the question of the day. It's summertime. We're just having fun.
Yeah, fan cast. You tell us who you think the best Indiana Jones would be. We got a few responses.
Okay.
Actually, we've got a bunch of responses. Because we realize that you guys like talking about the most serious stuff.
Things, which is why at 9 o'clock we got Rich Keller. Author of Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible. I'm sure the phones are just going to be lit up for that.
I guess we know how to handle that interview.
Yeah.
National Geographic
Boom!
Style. Take that as you will.
Yeah.
Marsh says, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah!
You might have seen him in Game of Thrones, Days of Future Past, or Elf. Where he played the angry elf.
He was also in Narnia.
Ronald Friedlander says Pat Morita or James Earl Jones. That makes sense.
I like James
Carl
Earl
Jones. Says Michael Cera, Meryl Streep, or Meat Loaf.
Beautiful.
Stunning. TJ says... Monica says, I will literally run away into the woods forever if this happens.
The woods in Seattle where Edward Cullen lived?
No, Monica, we see what you're
She's
about.
She's a fan, obviously.
You liking all
Big
that.
Fan.
You like that iPad, girl. You like it. Joshua put up a hilarious picture of comedian Kevin Hart. Carrie says, just not Rob Pattinson! And Andrew says, why are they remaking a classic? My friend.
Wait, welcome to 2014.
My friend, there's
welcome
this thing 2000s. In this world called money. And that's all you need to know.
Yeah, and they've been remaking classics for a while now, and not the best. Although I will say, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Not bad.
I like the Johnny Depp version
bad.
Better.
Yeah, I said it. What?
I like what they've done with Maleficent, where they take a classic and they turn it on its head.
But I did not super love Snow White and the Huntsman or whatever it was called.
I thought it was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, but that's because it was Kristen Stewart
was in it. Going,
I'm in pain.
But it made sense because most of the movie she was in pain. So she was excellent in that film.
Static!
Yeah, I know the next dude that should be playing Indiana Jones.
Let's hear it.
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, my gosh.
That's horrible, I know. I just had to say it in my head.
That works
horrible
for me.
Accent, the brawl, everything.
Horrible actor, horrible. Come on.
All right.
Looking for the Ark of the Covenant, all right. Hey, we're going to find that Ark.
You don't like Matthew McConaughey, you crazy.
Could you imagine? I don't know. You know.
I don't know.
I don't think. Yeah. I don't know.
Let me think about it.
Yeah.
We'll come back. You guys keep posting on our Facebook and feel free to give us a call.
There you go. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or, of course, 505-338-3700. Taking a quick break. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Comics Corner with our boy Max. We will definitely be talking about this as well. So.
We will.
Get your thoughts, comments in. Who should play Indiana Jones? They're remaking one of the greatest classics of all time.
They're going to reimagine a classic.
Yeah. On the way back, got some Muzax, some Demon Hunter, some Foster the People, some Blink 182, and more Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the Disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Traffic time. Traffic time in the morning. Maybe you're on the way to work. Are you going to school? No, you're not. Cause it's summertime, baby. Let you in summer school. In which case you hate your life. Don't hate your life too bad. It's gonna be okay. Cause you're gonna take your test and you're gonna get an A. Ah, Doug. That song is dedicated to Doug.
Producer Doug.
Road construction, Paseo del Norte and I-25.
Beautiful.
Also, what is this? Accident 4th Street Northwest North at Candelaria Road Northwest. Road construction, roadway reduced to 2 lanes, I-40 West at Nolasco Road, 98th Street. Exit 153 out on 40 West. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Come hang out, get some coffee, bring a blowtorch. I posted a photo on my Instagram of what we endure daily.
Ending apocalypse.
We're talking thousands of grasshoppers.
Thousands of grasshoppers living on the street. Won't you help them out? Grasshopper Ministry. Grasshopper Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Grasshopper Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you guys want to get some grasshoppers saved, come see me. Taking donations. I've got the Grasshopper Ministry.
Okay.
Doug has the Single Women's Ministry. Don't tell Shannon. And just give us a call, 505-338-3700.
Oh, man. And I've got a great ministry I'm starting up. It's called Brokists. And it's for all of the locusts who have lost their bros in battle.
That's cool.
It's really just trying to minister to the other side.
Mine's more of like an evangelism.
Yeah.
Yours is more of like a street level,
healing.
Hey,
let's
help.
Why the fighting? Let's stop this war. No more plagues.
We're all about
Brokists.
Yeah, Brokists. Brokists and the Grasshopper Ministry. You just come by the mix Tuesday nights at 7.
Oh, yes!
And we'll be there.
Amazing. Are you ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
We have been holding out. We are ready to do my favorite segment
Yay!
Of the week. Your favorite segment of the week.
My favorite segment of the week is Middays with Mitch.
Boom. Comics Corner.
Oh, nerds.
To the Idiot Mobile.
Hey, it's Comics Corner, and I really want to read them.
Because they're really, really cool.
Doug is a girl.
Gosh, so many words.
What?
Comics Corner!
Let's do it, nerd.
Let's do it.
It is time for Comics Corner, brought to you by Astro Zombies. 3100 Central Avenue Southeast. AstroZombies.com or 232-7800. That's 232-7800. They open up at 11. Maximilian, our boy, our bro, our dude from Astro Zombies.
He's not here.
He's not with us.
He can't be with us today. He's moved on. He's passed on.
Man.
Nope. Better way to say that is he's not here. Absent. Will you hand me those, please? Because they're so far out.
So many.
So far away.
Okay. We have so many books to get to. I'm not going to lie. This was one of the most expensive comic weeks in a long time. So.
Yes.
Oh,
sad
also, and happy.
I'm supposed to tell you that a new TMNT trade paperback came out.
Or whatever. I know.
So that's another one. That's another one for you,
yeah.
Sir.
Gosh!
Forgot that.
Northampton released this week. I read it in single issue, and it was absolutely incredible.
But you've got to get it with the paperback or whatever.
Thanks for reminding me.
You've got to.
I know!
You don't want Swamp Thing.
I really do.
No!
Swamp Thing Volume 4 came out this week as well. Some good releases. Let's start with Indiana Jones news.
Okay.
We mentioned it. It's our question of the day. According to one news source, Disney is in talks with Robert Pattinson.
R-Pat.
He was in the Twilight series. He was in Harry Potter.
R-Pat.
He's been in other, like, serious roles that nobody's watched.
He was Cedric Diggory.
Yeah, that's what I said. Harry Potter. Goblet of Fire.
He was in another... what was that? Was he in that 9/11 movie?
Which one?
Yes, he was. Yes. Okay. I'm not going to say anything else because that...
Which one?
Crazy. Nope. I don't know the name of it.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close?
No. Was that it?
No.
Doug?
No. That's the Tom Hanks one.
I don't know the name of it.
Okay. Was it World Trade Center?
No. But I saw that had Nick Cage in it.
Yeah, man.
That was a pretty good movie.
Which, FYI, speaking of movies, we're on movies real quick.
Coldplay in the trailer, you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. They released the trailer for Left Behind.
And the world was never the same. That movie looks horrible.
It looks
and
terrible.
I can't wait to watch it. Oh, yes.
We're going to Mission Science Theater.
That's what
3000,
it was.
That movie.
I can't wait to watch that movie.
It looks bad, dude.
We're going to watch it, and then we're going to release, when they release the Blu-ray or whatever, we're going to do a Team Awesome Morning Party commentary on that movie.
They released a trailer for Left Behind, and I was thinking, well, it can't be any worse than Kirk Cameron's, because come on, they got Nick Cage in this one. Oh, just kidding. It can be
worse.
Oh,
wow. How did they do that?
They really
did this. That's incredible.
I don't even know how they did this, but somehow they did this.
They got What's-His-Face from One Tree Hill to be Kirk Cameron's character.
So bad.
And then...
So bad.
Did you know that Ashley Tisdale was supposed to be in it?
Yes.
And she was in a bunch of the early posters,
mm-hmm.
and they replaced her with some other girl. I don't know who she is.
No clue who that is. So, yeah. Question of the day is posted for Robert Pattinson. Tell us what you think. Who would make a better new Indiana Jones? We need to know. We need to know. But we'll move on from film into... comic books, because it is Comics Corner.
Hey, y'all, it's time for the Comics Corner.
Starting it off with some DC Comics, because we go alphabetically.
Sure.
A is for Aquaman.
A is for Aquaman.
Aquaman and the Others releases today, number 3. And I gotta tell you, man, I really enjoyed this series. It's, like a side note, it's Aquaman in his own little Justice League, if you will.
Yeah.
They all have, like, super cool golden... bracelets or tridents or masks that make them awesome, and they come together to form Captain Planet. So it's great.
Cool, man. Heart.
That didn't happen.
We need the Justice League movie.
I apologize.
Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, we really do.
To come out so we'll have like a Justice League theme.
That's good. Yeah.
To play in the background.
We really do, yeah. So, Aquaman and the Others, it's good. It's 3 issues in. I don't know where they're going yet. You're introduced to a new villain. If you're a fan of Aquaman, or actually, you know what? If you're not a fan of Aquaman because you think he's lame, this is a book you should check out because it's pretty great. It trails off of a Geoff Johns series. The regular Aquaman series, this is his other team. It's kind of like side missions
side
and fun
missions.
And espionage and crazy. So it's a little different. Definitely enjoying that one. There's a few weeklies to talk about. Futures In, number 5 this week. And we've been talking about this. This is set 5 years in the future. It's going to be what is coming with the DC Universe. Mr. Terrific is rocking this one. And as you see on the cover, this is really about Firestorm and what's going on there. You're introduced to a few other characters. Constantine makes his debut.
Hey!
So he's kicking it in this one. And still really all over the place. We're 5 issues in. But seriously... all over the place.
Seriously, guys?
It's going to be one of those ones where we go back and have to read it all together and go, oh, okay, that's what was going on. There were so many loose ends, I totally forgot about that character and this and what's happening there and bleh. So, whatevs. Now, Batman Eternal.
Batman.
You read it.
Batman.
Yeah. Batman Eternal is another weekly series, which if you don't read comics, comic books normally come out on a monthly basis.
Yes.
And so to do a series week in and week out is taxing not only to the writers, to the artists, to the letterers, to the inkers, to
the
everybody
colorist.
Who, yeah, everybody who,
everybody
who puts this together, man, they're putting out a weekly comic
so
book.
Typically, just like this. When you have a weekly series, you have a huge team of creators.
Mm-hmm.
You have multiple writers and multiple artists that are all working together. All right, you're going to do these issues. This is what's going to happen. You're going to do these issues. This is the overarching story. We need this, 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 and this. So it's kind of like a big team book.
It really is. And Batman's doing a really good job because it's the Batman universe. So if you're a fan of Batman, you're getting... looks at more B characters.
Yeah.
It's kind of all over. This one's really set across the pond. He is overseas.
The left pond.
Yes, there you go. And he's hanging out. Now, they're bringing back characters from Grant Morrison's Batman
Incorporated. Yeah.
Which is cool because there were some characters that you didn't see much of. It was like, man, that'd be really cool. Okay, so we get an issue with him. So it was good. There were twists and turns. The ending was amazing.
Yeah.
The art, not so much for me.
The art's okay.
It's a little inconsistent. And again, with doing a weekly comic book, you're kind of rushing out comics to get them to press. So they're still doing a good job maintaining story overall. And the art wasn't so terrible that it's distracting.
It's not distracting. It carries the story. And it's not bad. It's just they've had a few like great... I mean, this is number 9. So in the previous 8 issues, there have been some fantastic art artists. But this one is just kind of like, well... what happened?
I don't know.
Is it not working?
Our computer's not working. That's okay.
There it is.
Yeah, so this one, Batman Eternal, number 9. One thing I have liked for DC is the cheaper price point. Comic books are getting more and more expensive.
Yes,
$4 and $5
gosh.
A comic, and DC's so far maintaining their $3 price point, which I have enjoyed because I'm reading more DC comic books.
Well, Marvel has to keep their prices up because they can't freaking find a director for Ant-Man, and I'm so mad about it.
Oh, man.
They're going to wind up eating all that money. Ugh!
Well, we got a talk coming up when we get to Marvel about what's going on with X-Men, what's going on with Fantastic Four. I read a very interesting article yesterday, so I definitely want to talk about that. But one more DC book this week. I will tell you, this is my DC pick of the week. If you watch Arrow, the TV series, and haven't gotten into comic books yet, but you really want to because you love Arrow, the series, Green Arrow issue 32 releases today, and it is fantastic.
Is it the one?
The art is incredible.
All right.
They're really bridging the TV series and the comic. Diggle.
Which is smart.
Diggle's a big part of this comic now. Hasn't been in the past. You know, whatevs. He is now... He's a big character in the New 52, and this one he really shines in. This is right past the war. It's kicking off a new story arc with the dragon. Diggle was kidnapped in the last issue.
Ooh.
And so this is kind of bridging the gap between the comics and the TV show of, hey, he was on an island. Hey, in this last comic series, he went back to the island, and now he's back in the city, and this crazy overlord named the Dragon has basically burnt Seattle to the ground while he was gone.
Dang.
What do we do?
I don't know.
It's amazing. It's introducing new characters. The art by Andrea Sorrentino is unbelievable.
Cool.
So, Green Arrow, definitely my DC pick of the week, and I love the cheaper price point. Which is great. So you have to read this, dude. It's so, so good.
Let me gander now. It's always cool to see a lady doing some wicked cool art,
man. So it's good. New characters introduced, bringing some old characters back, and Green Arrow all around. Fantastic!
We need to get the Avengers theme song.
That's a good idea. Now.
Marvel.
Marvel.
Spider-Man is Marvel's biggest character, but unfortunately, if you don't read comics, you might not know that.
Yeah, and speaking of big characters, Fantastic Four, it's been talked about. Fantastic Four and Ultimate Fantastic Four, they're like going on a hiatus, is what we've been told. Are they? We don't know. Depends on who you talk to. And I read an article yesterday that made a lot of sense. You see, Fox owns the rights to X-Men and Fantastic Four when it comes to movies, which is why they're done a little differently. And Rob Liefeld, who is the creator of some great characters like Cable and Deadpool, and he's been kind of helping out with the X-Men side of things in the cinematic universe. He started saying that, hey, have you noticed that there's no X-Men toys out right now? Have you noticed that it's all Captain America and Spider-Man? Well, that's because Marvel, you know, doesn't want the other movies to shine because they're not owned by Marvel. Well, a guy wrote an article yesterday that was pretty fantastic. It was on Bleeding Cool and talked about this and really looked at it. Is Marvel really banning all these things? Are they really going to pull Fantastic Four? Because there's rumors circulating that they're going to end it because they don't own the rights to the movies.
Yeah, and the rumor, the thing is, the reason the rumors are circulating is because a few artists have scanned their
requests from Marvel, basically.
Like their instructions, and it's like, do not include in any of your comics
this.
And it's a list of Fantastic Four characters.
Yeah.
The main ones.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, and it says, do not draw.
Yeah.
This is an order. Like, basically, it's like military. It's like, this is
like
an
order. Yeah.
Do not draw. Do not mention. No references to these characters at all.
I read an article yesterday that was pretty fascinating that really detailed this, because Marvel, you know, hey, they may drop Fantastic Four, they may drop Ultimate Fantastic Four just to spite Fox so that their movie doesn't do well.
And because they almost got the rights back.
They almost did. But one guy made a really great commentary, so I kind of want to give Marvel some benefit of the doubt, because he was saying this, look, let's take a look at the numbers for these comic books and how, quote-unquote, well they're doing. They're not doing super well. In fact, he looked at it, and only 53,000 copies of that comic sold. So let's say, for argument's sake, that Marvel's trying to do this despite the movie. If every single reader who bought those issues of Fantastic Four bought a ticket to the movie, you're looking at best, $500,000 worth of ticket sales.
That's it.
That's it. And so he said, even if every single person who bought that comic was bummed out, and let's say that Fox didn't care so much so that they said, suck it, nerds, in a one-page spread on said comic book for those 53,000 people, and they boycotted the movie because of it, you're looking at $500,000.
Nothing.
Their target opening for opening weekend is $100 million.
Yeah.
So it's not doing a whole lot, and Marvel is a very smart business, and so would they really try and boycott some 53,000 people to hurt a movie that's looking to make $100 million opening weekend? Probably not!
Yeah, they probably don't care. The Fantastic Four have decreased in popularity.
Yeah, they have.
Really since
Hickman left,
I think. And even a lot of people say, since Stan Lee and Jack Kirby left, which was back in the 60s.
Right.
You know? And they, because it was like, this is Marvel's first family. This was like Marvel's first big book, because it was.
Yeah.
But then it kind of went, and then those terrible movies came out.
Oh, man.
And they didn't do
so
it.
So bad.
It didn't
job,
do the comic any favors.
So if anything, Marvel should be mad at Fox for destroying their property.
Now, what some people have said was that, oh, yeah, and Marvel thought the new X-Men movie was going to tank, and they were going to get their rights back, which is probably not true.
Yeah.
The X-Men movie has done a lot better than I think a lot of people thought it was going to.
Did better than I thought.
More people were kind of like, huh, well, maybe if they can do this well with, you know, the X-Men, maybe they can do better with Fantastic Four, maybe.
Yeah.
But I still, the whole thing, I'm kind of with the guy. Like, even if Marvel did cancel them because of all this, it wouldn't matter.
It's not going to really impact the film.
Yeah, it's not going to do that. If anything, it would make it better for when, like, maybe they could take them out of the spotlight for a while and kind of, you know, come up with a good story and bring them back. Because it's a great scenario. You would think they could come up with some good stories.
You would hope. You would hope. So
it's Fantastic Four.
There's your Marvel movie news. Moving on to Marvel Comics.
Oh wait, before we go, they announced the director for Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Yesterday. It's the guy that did Emily Rose and Sinister and a movie coming out this year called Deliver Us from Evil. Here's the thing.
Those look terrible.
Those are scary movies, but that dude is a believer.
Yeah.
Like he purposely weaves in theological stuff.
Yeah, Exorcism of Emily Rose was terrifying to me.
Terrifying!
Because it was very realistic.
Yeah, it's one of the last scary movies I watched. Yeah. Seriously, because I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, I couldn't after that. I think the Insidious, was that the one we watched together? I think last one I ever saw.
Now, it's got a lot of Catholicism in it. Emily Rose does.
Not the Catholicism part, just the creepy movie part.
But it's just so... It was so scary and so shaking, you know, like at a
very
soul.
Much was.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But he's doing Doctor Strange.
I'm very
so
excited.
I'm like, whoa.
Because he, being a believer, he interjects truth, like biblical truth, scriptural truth about that realm, about the idea that we do battle, you know, not flesh and bone, but principalities and some very scary things. And that is very real. And this is the world we live in. And it's going to be interesting because Doctor Strange is a magic man, if you will, in the Marvel Universe. And so he always interweaves that mysticism with truth. And so it will be very interesting to see how the director handles Doctor Strange. I'm hoping to get an interview with him because being a believer, getting to talk
to people
in that industry.
That would be so cool.
Yeah,
I am upset. I am pissed about Ant-Man right now.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright's gone. He was awesome. That was one of the big reasons I was looking forward to it. And then they started casting it, you know, and it's like, oh. And then Edgar Wright left because Marvel's like, hey, we're going to bring in some of our low tier writers to just kind of, you know, mess with the script a little bit. And then they're like, understandably insulted. Mm-hmm. Edgar Wright's been working on this movie for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I understand from Marvel's part, you've got to make this fit in. They've spent billions of dollars probably at making a universe of movies. And I understand that. But bringing in your lowball guys to fix a script that probably was excellent.
Yeah.
You know? And then also, so he leaves. And then they're like, okay, we need comedy directors, but that can still do action. Adam McKay.
Yeah.
He did Ron Burgundy. Or he did Anchorman.
Yep.
He did Talladega Nights. He did The Other Guys, which if you've ever seen The Other Guys, has some awesome action sequences
really
in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh man, that would be great. Adam McKay says, no.
Nah.
Now they go to the guy who did a movie called We're the Millers, who I haven't seen yet. But apparently it has some cool action scenes in it. Nah.
I think everybody's like boycotting because of Edgar Wright.
And the other guy,
James Gunn, they had asked, and he was like, nope, hands off.
And then the other guy that they were talking to was a dude that did Zombieland, which was awesome and funny.
Mm-hmm.
That Bill Murray cameo is incredible. And he's probably doing Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Marvel. Yeah. I think they're going to cancel Ant-Man. I think they're going to cancel it. I really do. Because at this point, it's like, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And we're losing Paul Rudd. We're losing Michael Douglas. We're losing Avenger. What's her face?
Evangeline Lilly is signed on right
all
now.
All these awesome.
They haven't signed off yet. They haven't.
Well, they're probably locked down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like they would be. So.
But it just. I don't understand. At this point, it's like, Marvel, go back to Edgar Wright.
Apologize.
Say you're sorry and make the movie.
Let him do his movie.
For real. Just let him do his movie. You can do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a credit scene that ties it all together. Who cares? You know, change it up. Let him do his movie. Have a 15-minute credit scene directed by somebody else that goes in and fixes things.
That's funny.
Why not?
I know, right?
Why not? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm upset about Ant-Man. Yes, never thought I'd say that in my life, but I am.
That's crazy.
It's sad.
It's very sad. Marvel, at least you do well in comic books right now because there is such a huge week.
Huge
I don't even
week.
Know where to start.
Start with Ultimate.
Okay. Ultimate Spider-Man number 2 releasing this week. Last week, a ginormous cliffhanger. Don't want to spoil it. If you're just jumping on to Spider-Man and want somewhere to be, I'll tell you right now, I think the Ultimate Spider-Man is the best Spider-Man. I really do. As far as
it's good.
The mainstream. So, Miles Morales is Spider-Man. Peter Parker's been dead for a very, very long time. They've kept him dead, and there's some interesting things happening in this book. The art is fantastic. Brian Michael Bendis, I think this is the best book you're writing right now. It is
it's good.
Gosh.
The the relationships and the pacing are perfect.
That's it. It's all about the relationships. They do a really good job with it. I'm definitely enjoying what's happening there. I don't want to give too much away. I'm just going to say...
No, not.
It's just take our word for it. It's absolutely incredible.
He's very good.
Now, we're talking about Ant-Man and Edgar Wright in comedy. And I will say, a book that it's been a couple months since we reviewed because it kind of went on a hiatus and I was very bummed, and then fans were very bummed and kind of rioted. So Nick Spencer is writing The Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Now, this book is basically comedy. It's the D-listers. It's the C-listers. It's these terrible bad guys who are seriously ones that were in one-shot Spider-Man comics, are ones that you saw in the background who are the dudes that got taken out at the beginning of the issue. They're these villains, if you will, who suck at their job so badly, and that's basically what it's about. These everyday guys who have these crappy abilities, who aren't Superman, who don't, you know, have the coolest powers in the universe. And so... with that, they live in a universe where you have Thor, where you have Captain America, where you have Spider-Man, where you have all these great guys with great superpowers.
Woo!
And you have these dumb supervillains who are terrible at their jobs and wish they were cooler. And that's seriously what it is about, being these D-listers who just aren't rad and trying to be rad, and in turn, one of the funniest comic books I've ever read. So Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 12, you could definitely pick up here. But I would recommend going back to the beginning because it's only 12 issues in.
It's funny.
It's one of the funniest comic books I've ever read.
It's funny.
So, yeah. Huge fan. Love what they're doing.
Okay, what about Cyclops?
Cyclops number 2, released today. It's a brand new series with young Scott Summers and his dad. And I don't know what's happening, but Rucka, who is writing it, has somehow turned Corsair, Cyclops' dad, into my favorite hero, Cable. Watch out. It's still in the Summers family, but it might not be the son. It might be the father that becomes my favorite. I'm telling you, man.
Oh.
It's cool. He's a space pirate.
Space
it's got
pirate.
Firefly all over it.
Space.
It's awesome. He's a star jammer. He's got a really crazy Fu Manchu. And I'm telling you, I know who I'm going as for Halloween, and I'm not being funny. I love what they're doing here with Cyclops' dad and space pirates.
Mm.
Space pirates. That's all you need to know.
Space pirates
and aliens. Space. And it reminds me of Star Wars. It reminds me of Firefly. It reminds me of everything cool. Oh, and Cyclops is in it. So it's definitely awesome. He's like this 16-year-old kid who's still developing his powers. And it's him and his dad.
Because
and
this
cool.
is this is the Cyclops from the past.
Yeah.
Got stuck in the future.
And he's like, hey, I'm just going to kick it with my dad in a whole new world.
I'm going to go off in space.
It's awesome.
Speaking of space, we got, finally, this came out a couple weeks ago, and I didn't get to get it, but now I did, because Max saved it for me.
Good job,
Captain
Max.
Marvel. This book stars a lady. And this is, Dawn loves this comic.
She does.
This
Which is
also,
cool. She's been getting into comics recently.
Yes, slowly. She wants to, though, because she's cool. She wanted to.
She wanted to.
The Guardians of the Galaxy are in this, which is cool because Captain Marvel's out in space and she's kind of, and she's been teased in Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's like, where is she?
Nowhere to
she's
be found.
In there with them in this book.
Yeah.
She's been, she had a stowaway on her ship that she was trying to get home because they're finding out that this one planet is, they think they're getting screwed over by the, who's the Spartax Empire?
Yeah.
Which is the leader, Peter Quill of Guardians of the Galaxy. His dad is like the supreme king of the Spartax.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And he is a jerk. So he's got this one planet, and all of these people are totally displaced. And they're trying to figure out why the king of Spartax, whatever, keeps coming after him. And so you've got this one little girl that's a stowaway, and Captain Marvel rescues her, and then she's trying to get her home. But there's all these crazy situations. Rocket Raccoon from the Guardians hates Captain Marvel's cat that she brought with her to space, which is hilarious because it's a woman, a single lady in space with her cat on a rocket ship. And there's always jokes with the cat. It's like, that girl stole my rocket ship and my cat, which I think is funny.
Right.
So anyway, and I relate to it because I'm a loser with two cats.
Yeah.
It's a fun book. Captain Marvel. Moving on from that. We got Miracle Man number 7. We're learning more and more about his origin, and it is getting crazier and crazier. A dude's head gets chopped off by a dog in this issue.
A dog?
I'm not kidding. It's nuts. And it's not for kids.
I was going to say.
There's a parental advisory strong language and content in this book. It comes pre-bagged because you don't know where it's been because it's got so much stuff. So Marvel or Miracle Man, not for kids, but it's fascinating there because it's so well written and it's these crazy like heavy themes. It's kind of like Watchmen. We've talked about it.
Yep.
Moon Knight number 4 came out. I learned that the writer, Warren Ellis, who I think is incredible, is leaving the book at number 6, so the future of myself and Moon Knight looks pretty sketchy right now.
But do we know who's taking over the writing?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I need to look it up.
Yeah.
Also, one of our favorite books, did you get to read this yet?
I didn't get to read it.
Avengers World number 7 comes out today. Avengers World is probably the best Avengers book coming out right now. It's written by Spencer, the same guy that, or Nick Spencer.
Nick Spencer.
Same guy that writes Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which is a funny book. This book is more just like
epic.
You get one character, and they focus on one dude every issue. And it's usually a B character, C character. If you saw The Winter Soldier, Captain America The Winter Soldier, this issue features the Falcon.
Yeah!
He's the central character. And we meet a bunch of new people who I want you to read it because I want to know if they've ever been there because I think they might be D-list people.
Okay.
From China.
Sweet.
Also, and this was probably my favorite this week.
Oh, man.
Number 3 of 8, Original Sin, the big Marvel crossover series going on right now.
Yeah.
What's happened is this dude lives on the moon, and his name is the Watcher.
And he sees everything.
Sees everything, and he knows a lot of secrets because he does see everything. And he... Doug, are you on the phone with that guy that calls in? Somebody else? Okay. Somebody calls in to Comics Corner every week and just tells Doug what they think, and then they hang up.
Nice.
And that's it.
Nice.
He's always like, so-and-so called in. So anyway, Original Sin, the Watcher gets shot.
Yep.
Who murdered the Watcher? And his eye gets stolen, and in this issue, I guess this one dude uses the eye, and all of these secrets come out, because that's what the Watcher has seen, and that's what he's protected, are these crazy secrets. So every major character now that was at the scene when that eye thing happened knows a crazy secret about their life.
I think what I loved the most about this series, and what I'm really enjoying about Original Sin, is I don't know if Jason Aaron is a believer. I don't know what's going on, because he uses scripture throughout, and I love the moment where everybody, all of a sudden, the eye has that crazy like Death Star moment where everybody gets zapped. And in that very moment, they're standing in front of a supervillain that they should be taking care of. Mm-hmm. But instead, all of their deepest, darkest secrets come up, or things that they never knew, secrets that others had against them. Like one person realizes that their husband was having an affair. One person realizes this person was really their parent. One person realizes, you know, all these different secrets start coming out that other people had against them. And rather than take care of the evil in front of them,
they all
dare like, nope, me.
And they
I've been wrong.
Yeah, it says.
And so I demand justice for myself. And it's a man.
It says in that moment, it's like, well, all of the heroes just left.
Yeah.
It's like Spider-Man left, Daredevil left, the Hulk left. And they're just gone.
It speaks so much to the justice because, or the justice that we feel, that we deserve, that we want, because we could be in the middle of a situation where there's a problem in front of us, where there's somebody standing directly in front. Maybe it's an issue. That you're facing in your life, and next thing you know, something rises to the surface, or maybe somebody wrongs you in a way, and no matter plank eye that you have, you're like, no, I demand justice right now.
Right
even
now,
though I'm dealing with this difficulty over here, I have to take care of this right now, because it's me, and
it's
I demand justice.
It's my secret.
Gosh, dude, the writing on it is so fantastic. I would agree, absolutely incredible book. Great read. My picks this week are the number 2, Cyclops number 2, and Ultimate Spider-Man number 2.
Ultimate Spider-Man number
Absolutely
2
fantastic.
And Original Sin number 3.
So good. Picks of the week. Again, thanks to Astro Zombies.
Yeah.
They are located at 3100 Central Avenue Southeast. AstroZombies.com or 232-7800. We're going to do something different. We're going to take a phone call during Comics Corner. Static!
Rocky Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon, hey, welcome.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't like cats.
You don't like cats?
Yeah, and I'm just sitting there eating some trash and waiting to guard the galaxy some more whenever I get called.
Well, your movie's coming out in August. Are you excited?
I'm pretty excited. It was really tough. I mean, all the
stuff I had to do was emotionally tough, and, you know, and now I'm just, you know, bagged just scouring the neighborhood looking for stuff to eat.
So you're on Earth right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I was going to say, it sounded like you're on the moon because the reception's pretty bad. So
you must be.
You must be somewhere off in the galaxy.
Maybe you're in the south somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my new phone. Is this better? I'm switching over. I switched over from a Motorola to a prepaid.
There you go.
Sounds much better now.
That's
Thanks,
great.
Rocket. Rocket Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy on the phone with us now. In the movie, Bradley Cooper, they had voice instead of you. Was it because of your thick southern accent that maybe people would have had a hard time understanding you? Or why did they go with Bradley Cooper
yeah,
over just
happened?
Using your actual voice, Rocket?
To be honest, in real life, I'm just a real jerk myself.
Okay.
And the lines they get me, you know, read and stuff, I just kept being... I was like, I don't like these lines. This is what I would say. And they finally were like, you know what? How about you just keep quiet? And I was like, you know what?
Things.
How about I not do this yeah. film? And then...
You just walked off.
Let's get together and work this out. You know, I'm a reasonable guy if you give me some fish and some sardines or something.
Right, right.
Because that's what raccoons eat.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's
of course.
Sardines and fish, man. You are an odd bird. Or raccoon,
well,
if you will.
It's different here in the South. They do things different down here. I don't know why I find just garbage cans full of fish and sardines.
That's wonderful. Hey,
yeah,
I got
I'm near Craven Catfish, so that's where I hang out.
Oh, Craven Catfish. Yeah, that's I've been there. I have a question for you, Rocket Raccoon. I wish that you would come work at the station and we could have... like Coon in the Afternoon or Afternoons with Coon or something. I mean, Raccoon.
That would be great. I mean, do you guys have any trash cans and stuff around there?
We got tons of grasshoppers.
I would love to eat some. I actually saw that on an Instagram picture earlier. Steve-O, I follow you guys on my new
Rocket Raccoon
page.
Follows me on Instagram!
Yeah!
I do.
I made it.
It's pretty cool.
I made it. Incredible.
So,
yeah, I did make it.
So what else? You got the movie coming out. You're going to have action figure tie-ins, tons of public appearances. What are you looking the most forward to? What's the most meaningful thing to you about this new film coming out, starring you, basically?
Well, I'm currently trying to buy the rights to the Daniel Boone hat, the raccoon hat.
Right. Because you're a raccoon, and it would make sense that you would wear a dead skin of one of your relatives.
Exactly. I feel like the sales in that are going to go way up, especially in this southern region. So I'm trying to, you know, get the rights to that. It's not very easy because people in Tennessee are really... They love some Daniel Boone, man, or Davy Crockett, whoever owned the hat. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett, King of the Wild
Daniel
Frontier.
Boone was the Bowie. No, that was Bowie. That was David Bowie. Sorry, that was David
yeah,
Bowie.
Yeah, David Bowie.
Well,
he had a labyrinth to take
Daniel
care
Boone.
Of.
I thought it was Daniel Boone. I've actually accidentally already put in the right as Daniel Coon. I'm trying to rename it. And it's,
You got to get on that, man.
Apparently, I need to fix that, I guess. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually... I can't wait to, like, actually meet Bradley Cooper. I didn't really even get to meet him. I was pretty down about that. Somebody that's voicing me, I'm doing all my action.
Yeah.
And he just gets to come in and have a cup of coffee and then, you know, say his lines that are me. And just, you know, whatever.
That's offensive.
It is offensive. And I didn't like his last three movies, so.
Now, what was it like working with Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation and upcoming Jurassic World? Was it fun?
It was fun. He's a great guy. You know, he's really tall. A lot of those guys are way taller than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you are very short being a raccoon.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm definitely down there. I'm used to hanging out with, like, squirrels and rats and birds and creatures, you know.
And people's knees.
Yeah.
I get you.
Yeah, it's going real good, though, so.
So you got big plans today? More interviews?
I'm you know what? They're all going to Bradley Cooper. I'm kind of confused why he's getting all the...
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Well, you can talk to us anytime you want to, Rocket Raccoon.
Well, hey, man, I may call in, you know, during the first week of my movie and just see how it's going because I'm not even being invited to the opening night or anything, so...
That's awful.
That's pretty bad, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a lawsuit against me and stuff. I went crazy on some people and had to put me in a cage. And
wow.
You really got to be careful.
I get pretty mad. I mean, raccoons are a very dangerous species.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Especially when they're carrying around giant guns.
Yeah, you know. Rocket, thank you so much for the call. We actually have another interview coming up right around the corner with an author, so we're gonna have to go.
Yeah,
man.
We gotta go.
But
it's not Bradley Cooper, is it?
Maybe. Not. Maybe not. We're not sure.
Are you guys letting me go for Bradley Cooper? Just be real.
You know,
it's unconfirmed.
We really don't.
You'll need to talk to Doug about that.
Really don't want to upset you right now, so I'm gonna go.
All right, guys. I got to get back to my Daniel Kuhn.
Okay. Good luck with that, man.
I
got to
notarize it and everything. So.
Wow.
Hope it works out for you, buddy.
Good luck, sir.
Well, thank you, guys. Go watch my movie, and you know I'll see you guys, man.
All right, man.
Bye.
Rocket Raccoon. Great way to end Comics Corner.
Great Rocket Raccoon.
Incredible.
We had an exclusive interview with a raccoon today.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
He also does some photography on the side. For more info, you can go to Instagram and follow Raccoon Photography. I'm not kidding.
No, I know. Amazing. Quick break. Right back in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with Rich Keller, author of Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible?
Who did it?
Trick question. You are.
Ooh.
If you just got convicted in the car, that means really you. But
it's you. It's your fault.
It's not.
It's your fault.
We'll find out. That's going to be our first question. So who's responsible?
Is it me?
That's what I'm going to ask him.
Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Team Awesome Morning Party, welcome to the show. Steve-O and Mateo with you.
Hello.
This is the Hour of Power.
Power Hour.
We're going to tear phone books in half for
Help
Jesus.
Help him. Yes, way.
Did you ever go to one of those when you were a kid?
Yeah, we had it.
Power Team,
church.
Bro.
Freaking
Power
me out.
Power Team, yeah.
I didn't know God wanted me to lift weights. I hate lifting weights.
It worked out really well until my brother tried to break a 2x4 over my head for Jesus. And then
go.
I realized, what the crap? That did not work out as I expected.
Yeah. We're not all Samson.
Yeah, that didn't happen. Oh, man. I've been excited for this interview. Author extraordinaire.
Yep.
On the phone with us right now, Rich Keller. Hailing from New Jersey.
Yes. Don't hold that against me, fellas.
I won't. We just immediately wanted to make sure that no F-bombs.
I hate you!
This no. is
strong language.
A family-friendly program, okay? So,
no
none
Jersey.
Of that. I was going to mention crack, but that's Toronto. So, I think you're clear
yeah, you're
there.
Good. You're in the clear.
Jersey's
but
just like...
we don't trust you with any bridges. We know that.
Yeah, so, and I got to be honest, I don't really know a lot of people from New Jersey, so this is all stereotypes in my brain, so...
It is, and it's totally unfair. I mean, okay. You know, the thing is, I tell people, I said, I've lived all my life in New Jersey. I've never met anybody that said Joyzy.
Okay. That's good.
In my entire life.
I've always heard it was New Jerksey, so, you know.
Oh, man. That's low, man. Come on. I thought we weren't going to do anything below the belt. That's not nice.
This is true.
He's right.
Rich Keller, author of Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible? So, who's responsible? I'm just kidding.
I have a feeling you might be responsible.
Dang,
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
no.
We knew it. Is it me?
It depends on who you ask. We get plenty of emails from people that say that, you know, it is our fault. So.
We're being invaded by grasshoppers out here, and we've been blamed for that a few times. Your fault, we got the plague!
Yep, so, yeah, New Jersey, New Mexico, we're coming together here. We're going to hang out.
I know. No, I'm telling you.
So,
all right. What was the question again?
Oh, no. I was being a jerk.
Well, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your new book.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, R.L. Keller is my pen name. It sounds suave and cool, and everybody goes, ooh, you know.
Right, yeah.
But my given name is Richard, and I go by Rich. So you can, I'll call you Steve-O, and you can call me Richo if you want.
Perfect.
Richo.
Or you could call me Ricardo, which adds an international element to
it
our whole
really
discussion.
Does.
That's good.
It really does. I like Ricardo. That's
yeah, there
good.
You go. So we have Mateo, Steve-O, and Ricardo.
Yes. And we have Doug, who is our guy in the room.
We can
call him Lucy.
No,
and then you can say, Lucy, you guys are planning to do.
It'll be great. Oh, man. Incredible. So, Rich, you've written a few books that have really rad titles, like There's No McDonald's in Heaven. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yes.
Thoughts from a Random Mind. And this book that I really wanted to dive into, Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible. Tell us, first off, where did the idea come from and really the basis of this book in general?
All right, I'm going to get serious now.
No, that's good.
Yay!
That could be tough for you guys.
We'll
I don't know.
We'll act like idiots. You be serious. We got it. So
okay. All right. I'll be the straight man.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay.
In all seriousness, I see a lot, especially I don't know about other areas of the country because I'm from around here, but on the East Coast. But I mean, I see a lot of Christians that are struggling with their faith. They wonder where God is in different situations. There's a lot of hypocrisy in Christendom, and that doesn't bode well for people that don't know the Lord because they're like, they're no different than me. Look at them; they lie, cheat, and steal, and do whatever everybody else does, and then they say praise Jesus at the end. So it's the thought came to me. It's like maybe I need to write something that would shine a light on all the different. Well, not all the different belief systems, but the main or basic belief systems, what they believe, and in many cases, how it compares with what we believe, and is there somebody that is at fault for why people reject God, and if there is, why is it that they act that way? And I think that basically the main thread that goes through the whole book is the fact that Christians are partially to blame, and this is not a 2x4 on the head to every Christian that walks the face of the earth.
Yeah.
It's a if the shoe fits wear it type thing.
Yeah.
It's like I admit it, and I'm not proud of it, but yeah, sometimes I can be a little hypocritical, and I have quite frankly, I have a real problem, as I think most humans do, judging by the appearance of other people rather than actually knowing them. I'm terrible with that, and I've been praying for years that the Lord would help me with that, and I'm better than I used to be.
Yeah.
And one of my things this year, my resolutions was, Lord, help me to see people the way you see them, because the way I see them is totally skewed. So, I can be hypocritical, I can be judgmental, just like anybody else. And so my books come from a place of, this is what I need, there must be somebody else somewhere that needs this too.
Yeah.
So it's like, I need to take a hard look at myself and say I want to be more like Christ. How close am I to really achieving that goal?
Yeah.
And what do I need to do to become more like Christ? So the example I've been using in other interviews is, if you work a job, chances are you're going to get a job assessment every 6 months, maybe every 9 months, every year, whatever. How good are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? And it's based on, whether you're going to get a raise or you're not going to get a raise, or whether they're going to fire you or whatever they're going to do, or put you on probation or whatever. So I thought, really, Christians should do the same thing. But you know what? It's hard to look at yourself hard and look purposely for flaws. That's hard. I mean, who really wants to do that? You want to be able to look at yourself and say, I'm just fine, man. I look good. I smell good. The ladies love me, and everything's great, and God's still on his throne, and everything's awesome. But you know what, though? When we compare ourselves, we shouldn't compare ourselves to other people.
Yeah.
But we should compare ourselves to God and who he is. And he's perfect, and he's holy, and we aspire to that, or at least we should aspire to that, knowing that we'll never achieve perfection this side of heaven. So what does that all mean? It means that we assess, we reassess every 6 months, 9 months, a year, however often you feel you need to, and dig into his word. And even if it's only one or two verses a day, just ask God to expand your mind. What do you want me to do today? Because God knows how awesome we can be. And on our own, we just fall on our face.
Yeah.
And so, if we ask God, he will answer us. Now, the whole idea of when will he answer us and how will he answer us is answered in the first book. Sorry, you're going to have to read that one.
Right.
But the honest truth of the matter is, it takes patience and perseverance and diligence. People sit there that don't know the Lord. Perhaps we aren't really good representatives. Maybe we're not portraying the gospel in an accurate way. People look at us and they say, well, being a Christian, that's restrictive. I can't have any fun being a Christian. You guys are having fun, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely having fun in my life. It all depends on how you look at it, your point of reference. I think that part of the problem, and I delve into it in my second chapter when I talk about atheists, and even the third chapter when I talk about agnostics, that people are autonomous. They feel that they can take care of themselves without outside help, pretty much, and they don't need an unseen deity, so to speak, telling them what they should and shouldn't do. And so they cling to that autonomy. It's not even so much the fact that you can't prove God exists. Well, they can't prove that he doesn't exist either, so there you go. But the thing is, I think it's more the fact that they want to remain autonomous even than the fact that there's no God that you can prove. I think they hang their hat on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's like, I'm just fine. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I kind of went all over the place there, didn't I?
No, okay. It's good, man. I mean, and looking over the various chapters of the book, I mean, you do cover a gamut of things. There's a lot of great questions.
That's a good word, isn't it? Gamut.
Gamut's pretty good, man. You know,
I like that word. Thank you for using that. I'm a word guy. I like
book.
That word.
Yeah. Yeah. Next book.
Put gamut.
The gamut.
In. Call it the gamut.
Yeah. Yeah. Running the gamut. Yeah.
As influenced by Steve-O and Mateo.
That's good. Yeah.
So maybe the reason that people don't get a good view of our faith is because we're comparing ourselves to each other too much in the faith and outside of the faith.
Well, I mean, this week alone, we saw a handful of stories where someone proclaiming Jesus Christ did something interesting. I don't know if you heard about this woman in Tennessee who tied her one-month-old baby to her wedding dress. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah. Shauna Carter Brooks said on Facebook that her one-month-old daughter, Aubrey, was awake and well-secured, and more importantly, quote-unquote, covered in Christ. Mm. And so she tied a one-month-old baby to her wedding train and dragged her down the aisle with her as she walked. And so, of course, it's gained national attention, and her big quotes on Facebook were this: the answer is, we do what we want, when we want, long as Jesus on our side, everything worked out fine and going to continue to be fine. And goes along to talk about, most importantly, while y'all got feelings in us, we had in our hearts Jesus Christ, which covers all, so keep your mouths running, we going to keep doing what we do. And so that was a good representation of Jesus and the way he covers
us. I have a response to that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
In 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks, the Corinthian believers were showing themselves to be rather arrogant in their spirituality.
Right.
And they basically said what that lady said: well, we can do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
And Paul said to him, in two particular places, he said to them, yeah, you can do whatever you want to do, that's true, but not everything is beneficial, and not everything is constructive.
Yeah.
See, you have to look at the whole picture. That lady sees that they can do whatever they want to do, but that certainly wasn't beneficial for that baby.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
But that still also shines a light on the fact that people that don't know Christ will grab a hold of these wacky situations, like also that nutty group from Kansas that goes to military funerals, they'll grab a hold of that and they'll associate every Christian on the face of the earth with that. I think they do it out of convenience, because that way what it does is it reaffirms in their own mind, it reaffirms, well, see, those guys are nuts, man, they're all crazy, why do I want to be a Christian? And so it behooves us as Christians to be Christ rather rather than talk about him. Mm. I think, now naturally, there's always going to be talk about Christ, and there's going to be sermons about Christ, and there's going to be teachings about Christ, and that's important, and it's good, and it's all good, everything's fine, or whatever. However, for the church as individuals, when we go out into the community, isn't it better for us to testify with our lives rather than running our mouth, and then when our talk doesn't line up with our walk, it gives them ammunition to say, hypocrite.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's very true. We're actually leading a study at Steve-O's church, and he talked about James 3 last week and the power of the tongue, and that's crazy that you bring it up. But anyway, it's
absolutely
so true, because if we're out, you know, talking our talk, whatever, and then not really backing it up with how we're acting the whole time, then you get a stricter judgment, not only from the Lord, but from everyone around you.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not lining up with what you're saying, man, especially now in our culture where authenticity is such a vital thing, and everybody's really just looking for it because everything presented to us is so fake constantly.
Absolutely.
And the perfected state is pretty much just a ripoff of reality, you know? So it's so important to remember that if you're just running your mouth the whole time, you can say as much as you want about God, but if your life isn't really, you know, if you're, like Paul said, you can be a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong, and if you don't have love, then you're just making a bunch of noise.
Right.
That's exactly right. And talk is cheap, man. Listen, that's not even a Christian saying, but it's a true saying.
Right.
Very true.
That talk is cheap, man. Follow it up with action.
Absolutely.
And I don't always do that. I mean, you know, the one thing that I try and make very clear, either in my introductions to all my books or during my books somewhere, both or whatever, is that, listen, I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. These books come out of my weakness.
Yeah.
And so I'm no better than you or Mateo or anybody else walking the face of the earth. And really, are believers really that much different than unbelievers, other than the fact that we're forgiven?
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, honestly, if you really look at it, all right, I'm not going to go out and murder somebody, and it doesn't necessarily mean a non-believer is going to either. But maybe that was a bad example. but anyway, you know what I mean, though.
Absolutely.
Are we really that much different? Now, I'm not an anthropological expert, but I have lived long enough to know a little bit about people and the way they act and everything. And I'm very curious as to why people think and say and do the things they think, say, and do.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out. I was one of those guys in college that when I didn't have any money to do anything, I would just go to the mall and I would just sit there and people watch. You ever do that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I wasn't a Christian at the time, so, I mean, what I did was I made my... I made my assessments of every person that walked past me. Fat, skinny, ugly, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, and you do all that. But I mean, since then, I have found that I have sat and I have studied people, and now, at this, I'm 59. I don't sound that. I sound like I'm probably 12, but I'm 59 years old, and so I've been around the block a few times. I don't know everything, and I got plenty more to learn.
Yeah.
But when I look at people now, I see the struggle, I see the pain in their faces, I see the anxiety, I see the joy, I see things in their face. It's in the body language. It's in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming that comes with maturity. Putting the word maturity and Rich Keller together is kind of a scary thing, but you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
I think that comes from maturity, is that you can see things differently as you get older and as you acclimate yourself to different circumstances and situations. And that's not even a Christian thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've got the biblical foundation and a lot of good teaching to back me up, so that I know who I'm serving.
Yeah.
I know who he is. I know what he can do. I know what his characteristics are because of what his names are. I just did a teaching last week. I'm gonna go off on a tangent.
Do
get
it.
Ready.
Do it.
Everybody, get ready. Last week, I do this a lot. That is the reason why the book is the second book is Thoughts from a Random Mind. I have a very random mind.
Yeah.
And so I'm liable to go off on any number of tangents, and somehow they all kind of are cohesive, but it you wouldn't know it. And when I'm all done, I say, "Did that make sense?" And they're like, "Yeah, it made perfect sense." And I'm like, "Okay, well, that means either you're as crazy as I am, or it really did make sense." So
I'm pretty
good.
Crazy, Rich.
Yeah, I can be a little out there. Listen, you know, ask my. Never mind. I won't go there.
Yeah.
See, now I went on a tangent and I forgot where I was going.
There it is.
We're on the phone with Rich Kelly, author of Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible. You found your way.
I know where I'm going now.
Good.
Last week on Wednesday Night Live, I did a teaching of, that was my phone.
That's good.
Making that crazy noise. I forgot to mute it. A teaching on the names of God. What do they reveal about his character? Now, it only took me about a half an hour, 40 minutes to go through all that. But, I mean, it reveals so much about his character, who he is, what he does. And it's all based on Scripture. And it's based on what the Jewish people call him, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, etc., etc. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tonight, I'm going to be doing the attributes of God. The fact that he's infinite, the fact that he's all powerful, the fact that he's all knowing, the fact that he's transcendent, that he's not constrained by time or space. I think that if believers will the gospel's not a difficult thing to understand and live by. If you understand who God is, and what he has done, will do, and can do in the future for you, it all starts to come together. And you realize, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. It's not okay that you make mistakes, but you're not going to be perfect. So what you do is you need to have a humble heart, and you need to say, Lord, listen, I blew that, man. I totally blew that. And I'm sorry that I blew that. And please forgive me and help me do it right the next time.
Yeah.
See, I believe that God either causes or allows everything that takes place in our life. Now, people are, you mean that tsunami over there? You mean Hurricane Sandy a couple of years ago? You know, well, we don't know all the intricacies that take place with all the people that are involved in all these different catastrophes and all these different things that happen. Blessings come out of those things. And for us to make a general statement, I'm honing in on that particular thing, catastrophes now.
Right.
For us to sit there and pass judgment, where's God during that situation? Well, you know, we don't know everybody that's involved. Have you ever seen the movie called The Impossible?
I've never seen it.
No.
You know which one I'm talking about, though? It's about the tsunami that hit Thailand, a resort in Thailand in 2004. Ewan McGregor's in it, and
yes,
absolutely,
and Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts,
yes.
and three young lads, their kids that are excellent actors. And I watched that about 2 weeks ago. And I wrote about it on my author's blog. I wrote just a little review of it and everything. Double thumbs up. Really awesome. I mean, the unexpected, out-of-the-blue nature of a tsunami and how there's no warning and how it's people standing on the beach watching this wall of water rise up and not even really knowing what it is. And it just comes and hits and just devastates the area. And this family and how they were torn apart. You don't know whether they're alive or dead and all this kind of stuff. And it was an excellent movie. Very, very well done. Well, you know, you look at a situation like that and you say, how could God let that happen? Well, things happen in life, and God still is in control of everything. I can't explain why that happened. I can't explain why all the people that died and why it happened. Things happen in life, and we don't understand why. But I can say this, and I don't know whether those people were Christians or not. I probably not, the people that it were focused on in the story. But, I mean, the hope and the blessing and all the different things that come out of a tragedy are things that are never reflected on.
Yeah.
Things that are never discussed, they're never pointed out. things are always pointed out about all the horrible things that happen and how can God allow evil and everything. Evil is in the world, and man has a free will to either do evil or to do good, and that's his choice. But and again, like I said, I have no explanation for why babies die when they're you know, 2 months old and all this. I don't have an explanation for that. But I know that God is kind and merciful and just and fair and loving and kind. And I know specifically when it comes to, let's talk about the infants. That, I mean, they're innocent. They haven't done anything wrong. How can anything happen? Well, it's certainly tragic. And I would never want anything like that to happen to me or, you know, anyone that I knew or anything. However, God knows the beginning from the end. If that child had lived, what kind of a life would it have lived? What kind of a hardship would it have provided for everybody around him? Would they have been vegetables? Now, does that mean they don't have a right to live? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we don't always understand what God's purposes are. Yeah. We're just being asked to trust him. And if we feel we can't trust him because of that, then to each his own and move on. But we don't know the whole story. Yeah. And it's so easy for us to point a finger of blame. I can even remember when Sandy hit, I saw something online where a Baptist minister had said that he cried out to God and said, "How could you do this to us?" And then he realized upon praying and contemplating about it that God knew what he was doing, even in the midst of the storm, that blessing could be found. And so it's a hard place to be.
Yeah,
it's a hard place to be, and I mean, you know.
On the phone with Rich Keller, man's rejection of God, who's responsible, and I want to ask this question because in the back of the book, you pose this. It says, "Are we as Christians the reason people keep from embracing Christianity? Have we caused people to walk away from the one belief system that can provide redemption for their sins?" And I wanted to hone in on that a little bit because, you know, whether it's people who have already rejected God or maybe the believer who is, quote-unquote, stumbled by something, say, the alcoholic who sees the other Christian in a bar, and because of that moment, they in turn... But is that taking away the responsibility from the individual? Who is...
individual? Well, the one that's in the bar drinking or the one that came in and saw him drinking
or the guy that says, you know what, I'm rejecting God because these Christians aren't acting like Christians. Are we to blame or is there a personal responsibility that's kind of being taken away there?
I think it's both. Okay. I mean, it's both because everyone has a free will to choose.
Right.
And so man can choose whatever way he wants to live. And as Paul points out, and I mentioned earlier, not everything is beneficial. And that goes for non-believers as well as believers. Yeah. Not everything is beneficial or constructive for us. But we can do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that God's gonna love us any less. Now, also, the person, whether they're turned their back on God or not, I'm not sure if that means they're no longer responsible when the scripture says to, I don't remember the exact wording, but about how you are to be conscious or aware of the weaker brother so that you don't do something that will cause them to stumble. Now, I don't know if the man is absolved of that because he's turned his back on God. I don't know. That's in God's hands. He can sort that out. But you know, it's... We're not, like I had mentioned in the very beginning, I think we are partially to blame because of our inconsistency. Mm. We look at God, and I describe God as the lone constant in a sea of chaos and inconsistency. Mm. And I think that is very literally true. God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday. The scripture says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And we change all the time. Our moods change from one minute to the next. Talk to some women, they'll tell you. Oh, my goodness. They, you know, their moods are all over the place. Sorry, women. I'm in trouble now. Hey, listen, I'm twice divorced. I know all about that topic.
Oh, no, Rich.
There we go.
I know all about that. Yeah, see, there you go. Oh, look at him. He's a Christian. He's been divorced.
He's been divorced
better than me.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, well, no, you're right. I'm not any better than anybody else. But, you know, and I didn't ask for either of those divorces, by the way.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that says about
me.
Well,
Rich,
anyway.
If you were walking around asking for divorces, we probably wouldn't talk to you on the phone.
See that? Yes, Steve. I tell you, I'm going to get married again just so I can get divorced.
Right, right.
A third time. Because I enjoy it so much.
Yeah. Right.
It's so wonderful.
Right.
Hot dog! Let's get married and get divorced just for the heck of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as we talk
about
this.
That's not funny.
No, it's not. It's
terrible.
It's the state we're in, though, and as we talk about it, at least you're bold enough to say, hey, man, I've been through this, I've done that, because as we talk, this whole conversation is about truth and perspective and how people see things. So is it better to say, hey, man, honestly, I have failed. I have made mistakes. You're right.
Yep.
I'm twice divorced. Or, no, everything's cool over here. I'm good. Because there are both sides that would say, well, because of that, now people are going to say it's okay to get a divorce, or it's okay. So I feel like it's
that totally ties in.
It really does, because both sides would say, well, no, I mean, we got to be sensitive. We don't want to say anything that's going to upset some people, because we don't want them to think that it's okay. But if we're not honest about it, we're also doing a disservice, because the other side would say, look, that guy can't even talk about his past.
There's a danger, because I know part of the tough thing for me in my walk is you want to find that line where you're not condoning sin, but at the same time you're loving people in grace, and that's so difficult to find. But a lot of times it's easy to jump to that, well, that's just condoning sin, but when you do that, you're removing the personal responsibility of people involved, you know, because grace, I don't really know how to explain it, but I think you guys, you know what I'm saying. It's just such a fine line to walk when you're not condoning things, but you're saying, hey, you are just as important to God that he sent Jesus to die for you too.
Right.
You know, and we lose that when we're just like, no, you're condoning sin. You should write off this entire group of people.
Hey, Rich, our phone lines are jammed. Would you be down to take a question or two?
Sure.
Awesome. I know line one now, we've got a phone call that really ties into this as far as man's rejection of God. Who's responsible? How do we talk to those people?
Okay.
So let's go to line one. Static, hello.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Talking to you.
Hi, this is Sunny.
Hey, Sunny. Hey. Welcome. You're on the phone with Rich Keller.
Hi, Rich. I'm
Hi,
a long-time listener to this family. I have a husband who was a Christian for many, many years. He's very well-versed in the scriptures, and he started studying other books about different religions, and he has chosen to become agnostic. I have three children who are Christians. They're adults. And he is constantly challenging them on various questions in the Bible. They have come to me, and for many years, I've actually been their spiritual leader. And luckily, I homeschooled them and gave them a very strong Christian foundation.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm so relieved. But they're still afraid that he's going to go to hell because he's not a Christian anymore. He won't go to church. He won't pray. He has a lot of other issues, including alcoholism now. So I said, I kind of basically threw the line down, and I said, look, if you care about this marriage, then you'll go to counseling with me. And he has a degree in psychology, but he works for the military. And so he said, I'll go one time. And we went one time, and he decided he would go back. But
he would or he wouldn't?
He said that he would go back.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
So, and the counselor
is the counselor
did.
A Christian, or?
No, he's not a Christian. He did not want to go to a Christian counselor.
Mm-hmm. Not that he had said, to. I'm just curious.
Yeah, and he said that counseling is stupid.
Yeah,
he said, I already know everything. Counseling is stupid. Mm. But he's very adamant about Christianity is just like all the other religions in the world. And I don't have the same knowledge that he has. I don't have a wealth of knowledge to compete with him. all I can do is love him and try to be a good wife. In the meantime, I've been dealing with depression, which he can't handle, so he drinks. So I've got two issues I'm dealing with, his alcoholism and his agnosticism.
So what would be your question, Sonny?
What do I do? Yeah. I needed to get the name of your book, and the gentleman that answered the phone said you had several, but he wasn't sure...
Yeah, for everybody who has a question, we will definitely hook you up with the book, so
definitely
stay on the line. We're going to have Rich answer your question, and we'll get your information so we can get a copy of this book to you.
Okay.
Well, he obviously has lost his focus on... He's shifted his focus, and he's done the dangerous thing of thinking that he can acquire knowledge, and in his own mind, I guess and I don't want to put words into his mouth or yours or anybody else's, but it appears maybe that he has created in his own mind the fact that he no longer needs a God. Now, I'm not sure how he answers the whole sin question, but and the fact that Christ died for his sins, because that is, in my understanding of Scripture, is that's the only reason that a person will go to hell, is the fact that they have rejected Christ and the blood that he shed to forgive our sins. Now, don't be intimidated by the fact that he's got quote-unquote knowledge and you don't, because you can tap into the supernatural power that the Holy Spirit provides. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you can not only... Dare I say this, gentlemen, this is what I would consider a satanic attack against your family.
Yeah.
It's not from God.
Well,
God didn't orchestrate this.
Yeah.
And there is power in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There is power in prayer. And so you can pray relentlessly for him, for his heart to soften. Some people turn and they will not, and that makes him actually, instead of an agnostic, it makes him an apostate, in that he has once known Christ and has turned away. So that makes him a part of an apostasy that the Bible prophesies will take place in the end times. Now, some people will turn away and not return again, but there is always hope. Until the clock stops ticking, until God says it's the end, there's always time and there's always hope, because God is a God of peace and hope.
Yeah.
What you have in your home is turmoil that doesn't need to be there. God can bring you peace within the turmoil, and you just need to relentlessly ask for it. And I don't know the age of your children, but perhaps you can include them in the prayers as well, that they would pray for their father, that God would make a change, because I am of the opinion, pardon me, I am of the opinion that, first of all, prayer changes things. Second of all, one word from God and someone's entire set of circumstances can change.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say to you. Do not lose hope, because God is the God of hope, and God loves your husband even more than you do, and cares for him. And his, if I might say this, his arrogance in thinking that he can acquire knowledge and no longer be in need of God is sad. And I'm not going to put him down. There's a lot of people. I know somebody personally. I went to school with it. Did the exact same thing, and doesn't serve God anymore. And it's a very sad thing. But there's always hope when you're dealing with Christ.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Sonny. Hang out on the line. We'll get you a copy of this book. It is Man's Rejection of God, Who's Responsible? On the phone, Rich Keller, author. And tacking on to that, you said something about, you know, satanic, and that – ties right into James chapter 3, talking about the two types of wisdom, because we do see that. In fact, verse 15 says, earthly wisdom, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And, I mean, that's it. We have these two systems, if you will. We have earthly wisdom and we have heavenly wisdom. And I think that's exactly what you're speaking to right there. So,
and, you know, in all honesty, this is the first time I've ever been on a program where someone has specifically asked me a question I answered. How did I do, guys?
Yeah,
did I
do? Hey, you know what, man? Right there. There you go. That was really
good.
Did I do all right?
I silently, as she was speaking to me, I was silently asking the Lord to give me wisdom and discernment to know what to say, because that's a lot of responsibility.
It is a hefty responsibility. So,
And God cares about Sonny and cares about her husband and her children, and I do too, and I know you do too, or you wouldn't be taking calls.
Yeah.
And so I would never want to steer anybody wrong or say anything that would be biblically incorrect. So I try and be careful, but I do feel like I was led of the Spirit there, because there are certain things that are, for the Christian that does believe, they're undeniable truths, and God promises that He will never fail or forsake us, ever.
Yeah.
And there's no record in Scripture that He ever has, and there's no record in Scripture that He can't be trusted. That is the answer to the question, is God really trustworthy? Show me in the Bible anywhere where He has not done what He said He would do.
Yeah. Could that be partially the reason why people, I don't want to say fear, but a lot of Christians run around terrified, maybe because it's that quote-unquote earthly wisdom. It's, oh, this guy's got a psychology degree, this person's got a doctorate in this guy's a professor at this university, and now I'm trying to combat evolution, or now I'm trying to combat this thing, and they have so much knowledge that we kind of shut in. That's got to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, words are words, but actions speak louder than words. I'm not a big listen. There are people that are gifted in that area and that can stand up and can make a good accounting for the existence of Christ, the existence of God, creation, all these different things. God bless them. That's great. I would never knock those people in a million years. I don't have that gift. I readily admit that. I take a different approach. I try and take the grace-mercy approach. I try and take the approach, because there's a lot of it lacking today.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, for me personally, I'm not a guy that's going to sit down and debate anybody about anything regarding Scripture. I'm just going to say, hey, you believe it or you don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You say I can't prove God exists, like I had mentioned earlier. I say you can't prove that He does exist. End of the story. We can agree to disagree.
Right.
If you want to continue on and not believe in God, that's fine. But you can.
Yeah.
You can believe in God. You can accept the fact that you have done things that are wrong. People don't like the word sin. All right, fine. You've done misdeeds. You've done bad things. Everybody has. You can call it whatever you want to call it. It doesn't change what it is.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Everybody has, if they're going to be honest. And so what do we do with that? It's not okay. It's not okay for us just to say, the big guy upstairs understands. You know what? That big guy upstairs doesn't want to send any of us to hell. Hell was not created for us. Hell was created for the devil and his demons who were cast out of heaven. That's who hell was created for. And the Bible says that He doesn't wish that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Christ. It's a matter of faith.
Yeah.
People place their faith in so many different things, as simplistic as I have faith in the fact that that chair will hold up my ample weight.
Yeah.
Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
And More than ample weight. And you know, I mean, we place our faith in so many things. We don't even want to hear about the God thing. It's autonomy, man. I'm telling you. That's what it is. People want to hang on to that. Listen, I can do it. I can make it. How many times do you hear in sports and all these different places people say, never surrender, never give up? And yet I'm standing here saying you need to surrender. Yeah. You need to surrender what? You need to surrender your will. You need to surrender your will to God because He knows what's best for you better than we ever could.
Yeah.
If I'm left to my own devices, I make stupid decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, really do. And so, and that doesn't mean I'm a stupid person. It just means I have finite resources that I'm drawing from. I have resources that are basically what I've read, what I've watched, what I've heard, what I've been told, right?
That's right.
Pretty much. So God is all-seeing and all-knowing.
Yeah.
We use, supposedly, we're told we use 10% of our brain capacity. Well, then I would say God uses 100%. If he has a brain. I don't know. I've never actually seen God, have you? I've never really. I don't know.
No.
But that's what faith comes from. And our faith is supposed to grow, and it's supposed to, then all of a sudden it becomes trust. Not only do I believe in God, but I trust God. Why do you trust God? Because He takes care of me. He does. When I need things, I've never gone without. My bills have always been paid. When I didn't have anything, I prayed and He provided it. All the different situations we go through in our life are meant to build our faith and to help us to trust.
Amazing. Good words from Rich Keller, author of Man's Rejection of God, who's responsible. I look up at the clock, and I am bummed to see that we are coming to the end of the journey. So,
I'm not leaving, no.
So, before we go, though, I want to talk about this. You write a daily devotional blog. Where can people find more information on you, sir?
Well, my website, which I just revamped, and it looks gorgeous.
Nice.
Is breadoflifemen.net.
Cool. Okay.
Go there, visit it. There's cool things. You can buy cool stuff from my ministry. You can also buy my books from there, and I'll sign them.
There you
and
go.
Send a little gift packet and stuff with pens and all kinds of cool things. My daily blog is Monday through Saturday. Usually it's up sometime in mid-morning, my new posting, every Monday through Saturday. And it is minidevos.blogspot.com.
There you go. Cool. Right on. Perfect. And we're posting it all to our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/mystaticradio, if you'd like to get more information on Rich and check out his books and his blog and everything. Dude, thank you so much.
This was, I feel bad that we have to stop. Can't we just like talk the rest of the day?
I wish our show is actually coming to an end. We started at 6. This is our final hour.
You need to have me on again so we can talk about other stuff. This was very cool.
I am down for that, absolutely, because, you know, there's other books to talk about. There's no McDonald's in heaven waiting on God. How frustrating is it to have to wait on God? But it's something that we need to do.
Get a hold of my publicist, man.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Come on.
There you go.
We can talk about stuff I haven't even written about. Maybe a new book will come out.
We're
going to talk about anything.
Yeah, we're going to run the gamut, if you will.
The gamut to
run. There it is, the gamut. Will not forget that word.
Boom.
I want you to know. It will appear in one of my new books here.
There you go. Rich, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Gentlemen, you guys are awesome.
I'm
so thrilled with what you're doing out there. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you. That's the end of our journey.
That's it.
It's the end of the day for us. If you missed any part of the morning show, mystaticradio.com/mornings. You can podcast us, hear this in its entirety if you missed any part of the interview. And we will definitely re-air this on Sunday night for Shock Therapy Live. That's it for us.
That's it.
Until tomorrow, it's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static Radio.